Blog Talk Radio.
What up, guys? Make sure you go and get you something to drink, get you something to eat. You know what happens right here? We play a couple of little tunes, and then we get back to the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking forward to having a great show here tonight. I hope you guys are, too. The number's 347-989-8310. Come on and join us. It's fun. You know it's going to be fun. What we're going to do is we're going to play some of my music, because I just like playing my own damn music. That's just the type of nigga I am. If you are not subscribed to my music channel, the music channel is just youtube.com/Sotomayor Music, or just go to Sotomayor.com, click on all the channels. That's the great place to be. All of my channels are at SotomayorTV.com. Simple. Therefore, you will never lose me. You will never have to worry about this one got deleted or this one. I don't know what channels or what. You literally go to SotomayorTV.com, and it looks like a TV station because you just click on channels, and every channel of everything you want to see is right there. You ask for it. Conveniently, I've done it. I've put it in a position where all you got to do is go there and see it. Isn't that great? All you have to do is go to SotomayorTV.com. Not YouPorn.com, but SotomayorTV.com. And get all the channels. Just click on channels, and every channel will come up. So if you want news, if you want comedy, if you want music, if you want rants, they all are right there, and all you have to do is click on them, and the channels and the videos come up. So you will never, ever, ever run out of where to find Sotomayor stuff. Head on over to SotomayorTV.com. Now we're going to play some music, and we're going to come back with my girl Rosa. We're going to come back with my man Jason Black. We're going to come back with everybody that's on the line, Will, Stefan, all of you guys. The lines are full. Hurry up, call in. The number's 347-989-8310. Now, what are we going to play? Let's see what they play. Oh, they got to play Dick Jones. Everybody want to hear Dick Jones. That's just play Dick Jones for them. This is my song,
Dick Jones. For the people who've never heard this song, this is like everybody's favorite song. It's not mine, but it's theirs. This is Dick Jones. Again, go subscribe to my YouTube channel, my music.
Papa Willie, pop a collar, pop a bottle of mo. If you a G, make a pop that put me down to the floor like Dick Jones.
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 Pop a Willie, pop a collar, pop a bottle of mo. If you a G, turn around and pop the shit out of the hole like Dick Jones.
Dick Jones.
Dick Jones.
Dick Jones.
Dick Jones.
Dick Jones.
Dick Jones. They call me Dick Jones, rather than the OCP. It ain't a hoe out there. Maria that don't know about me, I'm Dick Jones, but I'm not the one from RoboCop, but I'm the one that's keeping your hoe hot up in your spot, chilling while I'm on vacation, I'm trying to go places, but niggas just won't stop hating on Dick Jones, I like them like brown skinny or big bone, the type of chick I can go put the dick on, but I ain't gonna trick for ya, man he a player, yeah that dick for ya, and dick for ya, it's all I gotta give to ya, I fuck with her, but you the one that live with her, so here's what a player like me a do, big game at her to get it in my vehicle, and she'll do anything that I tell her, so don't be trying to hate me, just relate to a fella, and pop a willy, pop a collar, pop a bottle of mo, if you a G, make a pop that puts it down to the floor like Dick Jones,
Dick Jones,
Dick Jones,
Dick Jones,
pop a willy, pop a collar, pop a bottle of mo, if you a G, turn around and pop the shit out of a hole like Dick Jones. Than the OCP. It ain't a hoe out there for real that don't know about me. I'm Dick Jones, but I'm not the one from up in Detroit. But I'm the one that plays these girls like a sport. And when I'm on the court, I be hitting nothing but H's. You nutting up in places. I be nutting up in these faces. I'm Dick Jones, and ain't no sense line, my dick long. And if you grow on the ride, then get on. But I ain't gonna sweat ya, I bet ya I keep hoes in line like a net joke sketch ass he wrong. I better get that skinny bitch, he's shown. She violated my home, bitch, you wrong. And if I see you on the street, I'ma beat your fucking ass to the white meat. So it's on. But back to the situation at hand, by Dick Jones, baby, yo, I'm the man.
So pop a whip, pop a collar, pop a bottle of Mo. If you a G, make a pop that puts it down to the floor like Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Pop a whip, pop a collar, pop a bottle of Mo. If you a G, turn around and pop the shit out of a hole like Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Dick Jones. They call me Dick Jones. Dick longer than both summers. You pushing four hummers. I be laying more pipes than both plumbers. Up in both babies, mamas, and three best friends. Two of them freaking this weekend up at the West End. One of a man found out and he was heated, dawg. You know I had to play Michael Jackson and beat it, dawg. Cause drama, I ain't with it. But niggas, they don't get it. My nana spit it, yelling, don't stop, get it, get it. They call me Richard, but Dick's my nickname. And ladies know a nigga be quick to spit game. Everything that you spit at a chick, the shit's lame. When I fuck, I can give a fuck if the bitch came. Cause it's all about me, me, me. I don't care if I see you smile again. I ain't BBD, I'm D-I-C. K to the J-O-N-E-S. If I'm that nigga that these hoes expect. So pop a whip, pop a collar, pop a bottle of Mo. If you a G, make a pop that puts it down to the floor. Like Dick Jones, Dick Jones, Dick Jones, Dick Jones. Pop a whip, pop a collar, pop a bottle of Mo. If you a G, turn around and pop the shit out of hoes. Like Dick Jones, Dick Jones, Dick Jones. If you a G, make a pump that puts it down to the floor like Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Pop a whiskey, pop a collar, pop a bottle of Mo. If you a G, turn around and pump the shit out of hoes like Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Dick Jones. Dick Jones.
Yeah. And this song goes out to the whole Jones family. My nigga, William Jones. A.K.A. Billy, A.K.A. Tony Vegas, my nigga Robert Jones, A.K.A. Bobby, A.K.A. Darren Walton, my nigga Charles Jones, A.K.A. Chuck Slim Jones, it's my brother Ozzy. Fuck it, I'm gonna give a shout out to Andrew Jones, motherfucker Chipper Jones. Fuck it, I'll even give a shout out to Mary Jones. And me and Mrs. Jones, motherfucker. But they all my Jones. Motherfuckers gotta love Jones. I don't even understand. Oh, me? You know who I am. My name is Richard Jones. Baby, come on. Come on, Ally. Oh, come on. You know who the fuck I am. Quit tripping. Yeah, I know they call me Dick. You know they call me Dick. My name is Richard. Yeah. Why are you doing this to me?
That was Dick Jones. That was a song I did a while ago, just being silly. I like that name. I took that name and I made a song out of it. That's the type of shit I do. Now, last time people wanted to hear Hate on Me and I did not play it, so I should play on this one. I'll play this song. We'll get ready for the second half of the show. This is my song called Hate on Me. It is apropos. And if you look up apropos, you'll know what the hell I'm just saying. For my situation now, here it goes.
One of them disappear. So if it's clear, keep it moving, shawty.
Cause we didn't come here to fight, yo, we just came to party. Then take somebody home, cause we just trying to keep it funk tonight. And anybody out of line getting stuck tonight.
That's right.
So don't let this hook go, cause I got something out in the trunk to shoot through you. It's funny, cause I ain't got nothing to prove to you. And you don't really want it with me, so that's too.
Oh!
Why you wanna play them games? Why you wanna hate on me?
You hate, dog.
I just wanna do my thing.
You wanna do me, man?
Why you wanna hate on me?
Yeah.
I'm not the one to blame.
Play me.
Why you wanna hate on me? And a damn thing gonna change. So why you wanna hate on me?
Why you hating on me? I don't understand. Could it be because your girl think that I'm the man? Or could it be because your mom is my biggest fan? And your sister keeps saying, can she touch my hand? Dog, I don't even want no beat. And I don't think you really want to see me on no street. I don't think you want to see me pull in front of your place. With the heat and pull that thing out in front of your face. See every different place I hit, six chicks want to roll. But it ain't because of me, it's because my record went gold. But back then when I couldn't get no show. At the same time when I couldn't get no hold. But now I'm putting up a high type figure. Now I got these white girls saying I like nigga. I'm guessing that's what happens when you ride tight, nigga. That's why I'm trying to stay up in the limelight, nigga.
Jigga. Why you wanna play them games?
Why you playing, dog?
Oh,
why you hating, man?
I just wanna do my thing.
Why you wanna
me? I'm not the one to blame.
I ain't the one to blame.
Ain't a damn thing gonna change.
Ain't gonna change. Why you wanna play that game? Every time you do a song, you gotta say my name. I was letting it go, but now I gotta put a stop to that. Cause fake rappers get popped for that. And they gon' have to call the cops for that.
Black nigga.
Cause when it's problems, I'm on top for that. I keep a strap like a dyke down in Midtown. If you're standing around, then you're bound to get clowned. So duck damn, dog. Cause these jokers is wild. But they can't do nothing to me but have a coconut smile. I know they foul, even though most of them hitting the white line. They might write tight lines, but they ain't like mine. So please, dog, don't even compare yourself. And you can talk about it if you ain't been there yourself. So if you wanna battle, you better prepare yourself. I have your ass get to dare yourself. Fake ass nigga.
Oh! Why you wanna play them games?
Why you
wanna hate on me?
Why me, dog?
I just wanna do my thing.
All right, people, we've been talking about languages. I see those people talking now about languages. And one of the things I said is when it comes to languages, as Americans as a whole, we think that English, like everywhere you go, people need to speak English. We don't know shit when we go out of the country. Have you noticed that when we go out of the damn country, we don't know shit, but when they come into the country, they know how to speak your language? That ain't good. It used to kill me how Spanish people would talk around black people. And they would talk Spanish around them until they figured out I knew what they were saying. Then they stopped, but they would laugh. Because they would sit there and they just realize most of the blacks don't speak Spanish. They don't know anything other than their language. But then if you think about it, we don't even aspire to leave the United States. We're afraid that if we leave America, they won't let us back in. We literally are afraid if we leave America, the motherfuckers will not let us back in. I ain't leaving. We are the true victims of Stockholm Syndrome. It's us. I've known plenty of white people who aspire to go to Europe. How many black folks do you know aspire to go to Africa? Only place black folks want to go outside the country is damn Jamaica. Ask any black person, well, where would you like to go outside the country? They'll tell you, Jamaica. When I went to Israel, was I scared? Yes. I plan on this summer on taking me a European vacation. When I was in Germany, well, I was little. But why not be well-rounded? Most blacks die only knowing what they already knew. That's why people don't like my show. That's why they like some other crap. Because when you come to my show, it's not going to be about just rehashing what you already damn know. It ain't about a rehashing of what you already know. It's about learning something. We're going to go to the commercial breaks, and we're going to be right back with the show. The number is 347-989-8310. I'm looking forward to having you guys on the show tonight. It's going to be a good show. It's already been a good first half of the show. It's got to be an electric second half of the show. Let's get it in, people. Let's get it in.
DMV Staffing, national industry leader in staffing opportunities. Our years of staffing experience has taught us a few things. If you provide the right opportunity and a very high salary, people will perform their very best. We understand that needing more money than you're currently making is not your fault. We know if given the right opportunity, you could make more money. What if you could send your children to the best schools and take multiple vacations a year? If you had the right opportunity to make more money, you could.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tommy Sotomayor. And I'm sure you're like everyone else out here that wants to take control of your work future. Well, one of the best ways that we here at Your World, My Views know how to do that is to get in contact with DMV Staffing. Just log on at dmvstaffing.com or go to yourworldmyviews.com and tommysotomayor.com, sotomayortv.com, where the links will take you to DMV Staffing, because we know DMV Staffing will do all that they can to make sure that you have the job of your dreams. You want to make sure that you can take that vacation you wanted and you can take care of your family as well as those around you. And that starts finding a job that can help you be financially secure. So go on to dmvstaffing.com and make sure that you let them know Tommy Sotomayor sent you.
I knew I needed to talk to somebody about money when I opened my design shop.
When Mom got sick,
my daughter engaged already.
I felt sort of stuck.
I went to SunTrust.
I just wanted to talk to someone.
And they listened.
Helped me see options I didn't know I had.
Now I'm moving forward.
Now I can focus on what's really important.
I'm better off than I thought.
At SunTrust, we're here to help you find the answers you're looking for.
This is my baby girl.
That's why we start every conversation with, how can we help you?
I need cash. 877-CASH-NOW.
It's your money. Use it when you need it.
Call J.D. Wentworth. 877-CASH-NOW. Hold on.
N.S.F.W.
Got no time for sex in, but my shit don't flex in. So
what I'm gonna do, since I'm here all alone, one more grip out the bone, closest click to lock my phone. I packed it a TV-65, if you might see me jumping on you.
And now, back to the show where truth is king and logic reigns supreme. Your world, my view. Your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone. Welcome back to the show.
What y'all do about them cream pies?
This is your boy, Tommy Sotomayor. This is your world. We have a serious topic here today. We still want to talk about your boy, the Django Unchained. We've been looking at the Django meat. It's like, where's, you know, where's Waldo? The motherfucking Where's the Django Unchained Part 2? Where's this nigga at? They can't find him. I'm standing on the side of the road yelling, go, OJ, go. Go, Diego, go. The black Jason Bourne. I hope, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that's not going to happen that I wish would happen. You ever notice them white boys? Them white boys can kill up a whole village and give themselves up. I ain't trying to be funny, but them white boys can kill up a whole village and walk away without a scratch. How? I don't know. A black man could be suspected of some shit. They're going to shoot him dead in the street. I don't know if y'all remember that video I did. Y'all remember that black man? And he was obviously mentally disturbed. He was standing out in the middle of the street. He had a knife in his hand, and he was surrounded by what looked like 15 cops. They shot that man like a dog in the streets in front of everyone. Do y'all want to know why I stayed up 36 hours to do all those videos? One, because if your audience is telling you something to do, then you probably should do it. That's always been my thing since I was young. If people who want you to do something want your help, then try your best to help them. And you guys saw my Twitter timeline. Half of you guys were there. Half of you guys sent me stuff. You guys were tweeting me and inboxing me all day. And the stories you guys were sending me were very sensitive. Y'all weren't sending me no stupid stories. You know, like, it's fun. I have fun, I could have done the Tahiri story. Tahiri got herpes and all that. Hell, every nigga got herpes. That wasn't impressive. But I wanted to do the stories that you guys wanted because those stories meant something. Because I wanted to prove to y'all something. I wanted to prove to y'all that if black people keep going the way they're going, they're going to go the way of the dodo bird. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? If black people keep finding themselves, when that man killed those two people who were both of them now, let's get it straight. They were 31 years old and they were parents of five children. Yet that Oriental, the Asian man had no problem shooting them down. I'm about to bring in my girl. Let me bring in Landa to join me. Let her know that she's there. I know you're there, girl. I know you're there.
You said, ain't nobody picked up my phone call. They ain't asked me who I am.
Because they know who you are now, Landa. So you can stay here. You're on the air. Your mic is open, Landa, so... All right, you ready?
My mic is open now?
Your mic is open. I got your little message, that light-skinned privilege. Anyway, but let me finish my story, and then I want you to elaborate on it. I'm going to bring in Jason to join us, you and I, on this.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'm bringing Jason right now. Jason, your mic is open, so stop eating chips.
Oh, man. I didn't know you were watching.
You got to say it for me before I even keep talking. You know what you're going to say. Say it for me.
Black first, brother. I've got a lot on my mind.
And I'm going to let you, you know, when you come on, basically, I let you get it off. So I'm going to say this. And I just want, and I want you to talk about this as well, because see if you can see my point. I stayed up 36 hours doing news that people wanted me to do, because the news that they were doing, to me, they all dovetailed each other. And it was showing that black people's lives are expendable. And if people are sitting there, keep trying to get mad at me about what I say, I keep telling them, you can get mad at me for what I say, or you can get mad at what's actually happening to you physically. And what's happening to you physically is that the world is taking aim at you. The world does not take your life seriously. And the reason I say this is because you're watching these all other ethnic groups feel real calm and comfortable shooting your ass down in the streets. So comfortable that I did four stories today of black men being shot down, and one was a black woman getting shot down. And I said to them, there were two 31-year-olds who were parents of five children who are now dead because a 75-year-old Asian man killed them. And people misunderstood what I was saying. They said, so are you saying he's a hero for killing them? I said, no. I said, his community is going to view him as a hero. Let me explain. Because blacks have pitted ourselves as savages, but we're savages without the weaponry. We are the equivalent of a dog or a bear. A dog and a bear scares the shit out of white people if they come snarling, so white people can shoot them. And they're justified in shooting them because it was a dog and a bear, but that dog and a bear never had a gun or a knife or anything to really harm them. Well, black folks, we're the same way. We snarl around, we make faces, we cuss people out, we call them crackers and hunkies, and we do all that crap. But at the end of the day, most of us are getting shot unarmed. Most of us getting shot because we running our mouth, like the boys who was running their mouth in the car playing their loud music and the white man hopped out with a gun, shot their ass. See, we do a lot of that. And so I was trying to explain to black folks, in his community, he's 75 years old. That Asian man wasn't expected to live that many more years. But these 31-year-olds had just got ready to start their life together. They were parents of five children. He murdered two 31-year-old black people in their prime, and he was 75, literally looking at the grave. So he's a hero to his people because he took out two black people in their prime at the end of his life. Black people have become targets. Do you see where I'm coming from? And Rosa, your mic is back open, but I want to ask you, Mr. Black, do you see what I'm trying to tell black folks?
Black first, brother. I see what you're trying to tell them. I don't know if it's too late long for them to get a lesson. I see what you're trying to tell them. You know, I was watching tonight. They had a biography on about Luis Felipe, who founded the New York chapter of the Latin Kings. And a couple of dichotomies here to dovetail what you're talking about. The difference between the gang that he started, and I noticed there was a gang, they separated all the Latinos up there because they got into a fight with the Muslims in prison. When they separated them, he gave them a philosophy, a type of manifesto. But this manifesto was so much different from anything I'd ever heard of with the Bloods and the Crips. His manifesto was for his people, based upon respect. You got props in the Latin Kings for the respect that you showed to each other. That you could be a hero without dying. That was one of the things he taught. You didn't have to die to be a hero. And then he expanded it to say that we're beyond just Latin kings. It's Latin kings and Latin queens. And he gave a set of rules and manifesto for the women that they had to respect the set. They had to respect each other. They had to respect the men. He said no blacks could be admitted to the Latin kings. No blacks. Even though Felipe himself was from Cuba and was half black. Now, I say all that to say that we as black people do not understand that we're playing checkers and everybody else is playing chess. That everything for them is about domination. That's just the plain simple fact of it. He didn't start a street gang and say, hey, you know, we're opening up the Latin Kings chapter here so we can all be a bunch of wild and crazy Hispanics. That wasn't the point. The point was about domination. The point was about dominating where they were. And black people don't see it that way, or when we do, it's about something that doesn't matter. That's the crazy part of it. We're willing to fight and die and do all kinds of things, stuff that doesn't matter. And it's directly a result. It is a direct result of this matriarchy that we live in. If the world wants to know what a matriarchy looks like, come to Black society. This is what a female-run society looks like. This is what it looks like from top to bottom with zero male influence. It's the craziest thing in the world when you hear some jackass heifer online sit up and say, if the men would get out of the way, the men have no power, they have no ability. On the one hand, you say that the men do not protect us, they don't do anything, they don't run anything, and then on the other hand, you say the men are in the way. The men are dominating us. It can't be both ways, but except in the female mind. Now, a female can have it both ways. It can be both ways.
Well, Jason, I want to say this to you. There's a woman. I don't even know the woman on YouTube. Some old-ass woman. This is what lets me know the Black community is fucked up. This is the second woman in her 60s that's making YouTube videos about me. One was 70. Now one is in her 60s. Who the fuck is 60 years old going after a man half their age on a video medium? And she went around and she's talking about how I was bashing Black women. Then she continued on and she said, 60-year-old woman, it's because of these weak-ass niggas out there. If niggas would stop being bitches. And I thought to myself, why would any Black man ever want to marry a Black woman when their mouth opens up and those words come out at 60-something years old? That they speak, and it goes to what you just said. In one breath, you're saying you want men to step up, but then you're saying they want to get out of the way. But think about how often Black women are just fucking foul-mouthed. I assume men talk a certain way, but the women are just disgusting in their language. Punk ass niggas, these weak ass niggas. But then you get mad when they refer to you as bitch. And these people who are calling people weak ass niggas are mothers who watch their son, whose son have to watch their mothers speak this way about who they are. And they grow up being ready to be called a weak ass nigga. That guy, I stood up for him, the Atlanta Metro cop. When those Black kids called him a faggot and gay, I said, that's a problem in the Black community. Well, I put up a video of him today, and what was the first thing he called the guys he didn't agree with? And he's a cop. Y'all niggas ain't nothing but faggots. Y'all niggas ain't nothing but faggots. And I thought, this is why I have a disdain for Black women, because you would put this crap in your kid's head. As Rosa was, as Landa was saying, when she comes on, she's on here now, but as she was talking about, the crap that we feed our kids, and it's not we, it's the women, because we're in a matriarch. And for me to bring it up bothers them. These are the same people who say they want their men to step up, whose favorite song is Single Lady, whose favorite song is Girl Run the World, whose favorite song is I Don't Need a Man, who runs around and tell you niggas ain't shit. Please, Jason, elaborate.
First of all, isn't it past her bedtime? Isn't she supposed to be taking a little old lady nap while she's making all these videos? That's the first thing that hits my mind. Second thing that hits my mind is, what is this, grandma's gone wild? I guess Comcast is just trolling the senior citizens' homes, giving out free internet service or something. I don't know what the hell this is about. But, I mean, really, but what this really is, brother, is, I mean, first of all, do these old heifers even know how to work their computers? It must be their kids coming over and showing them or something like that. I don't like this nigga Tommy Sotomayor. Here, Grandma, say something crazy. And off they go. That's the only thing I can really think about it, because when I worked in internet services and the little old ladies called in, I had to sit up here and tell them what the space bar on the keyboard was, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of amazing to see all these little gray-haired ladies giving you trouble and whatnot like that. But think about this, though, brother. Think about this. Now, what you're saying is now they're old ladies because you're used to the younger females messing with you. But wait a minute, Tommy. Weren't we also used to the younger females being the only ones twerking and shaking their asses on YouTube? And now you can see them and the older chicks doing it, too. They never tell themselves that it's time to grow up. They never reach a point where they say, as women, it is time for us to become virtuous. That point
you.
Never happens. That is an expired concept in black female society today. It's dead. It's extinct. It's over. There is no concept of being a virtuous woman or that there's a point in your life when you stop that mess. It doesn't happen. And now they are, I mean, it's wiped out now. They're little old ladies behaving like raunchy, rowdy teenagers, not just any teenagers, but the raunchy, rowdy kinds. They have out of it. There has been no maturing process where they sit with other mature, older women and assume their place as a true mate, as the matriarchs of a family. Not a matriarchy, we don't need that. But if you're going to become matriarchs in the family, aren't you supposed to be upholding a standard? What the hell standard are they upholding, getting on YouTube, acting like a damn fool with some fella they don't even know on the other side of the country?
Mm-hmm.
What standard are you upholding by doing this? Mothers shaking their asses with their daughters on World Star Hip Hop.
Exactly. And they've shown their true Terminatrix mentality, because here's what happens with these black women. If you can just go around any video and put my name in it, the same black chicks talk on every video saying how much they hate me, and they don't even know me. They don't even know. And they have made
all you have to do is just be there. You're something to focus their energies toward. They're sitting on, and as a psychologist, you know this. They are using it today that. And this is something that this is just a whole other show. I understand. No, I hate the word show. It's a whole other broadcast. But the absolutely epidemic amount of black females who cheat and whatnot like that, this just shows you that we've gone totally into a situation where they don't have to know you, but they're sitting on so much pain that they just are shelling it out to everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are someone to focus their anger at. So we're going to lie, we're going to cheat, we're going to steal, we're going to do it on just this bigger level because they are just sick. Black women, D.L. Hughley was just damn right. I mean, he was hated because they say that in politics, a gaffe is when you tell the truth. And D.L. Hughley committed a gaffe by telling the truth that black women are the angriest people in society, not just in society, but in the world, period. They are just sitting on so much anger. And so much, I mean, the word is rage, not just anger, but rage. They are just so mad at the world for being born, I suppose it is, that it doesn't matter who it is. You've just, I mean, if you fell off the face of the earth tomorrow, they'd just find somebody else.
Haven't you noticed what's sad? And Landa, you can speak in here with us. Haven't you noticed what's sad is how, like, the mixed sister and then Landa, they have the same report. My ex-girlfriend, who used to be my co-host, when Rita was on here, how can everybody have the same report about black women, about their anger? And I like the fact that you brought up, you said there's a difference between, I want people to understand the two things that he said, and I'm sure it went past a lot of people. You said, I don't like saying show, because in your mind, what you're saying, you tell me if I'm wrong, but a broadcast is different than a show because a show is just something that's made up. It's not real. You're just putting on something for entertainment. It's not like you're trying to educate any people, and you didn't want to use that word. Is that correct?
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the second thing you said was you said, no, it's not anger. You said it was, what was the word you used?
It's rage. I mean, when
you
see that situation with that it's security guard out there, I mean, she was not angry. I mean, there's a difference. I mean, there's a, like the stripper who called in a few days ago. I mean, that was angry, okay? You know, there's a few people in particular I can think of where you're concerned. They're angry. The people who are following you around, every time we turn around, it is just spit and bit and swear words. It is just this. They're just verbally assaulting you because when you come out and just say, you know, you're gay and you're queer and you're a no good MF-er and all this stuff right here, this person is basically verbally assaulting you. If you're in front of them, they'd be swinging their fists at you. So they're using their words in the place of fists, and they're not saying any. What you're saying is, well, they're not disproving any points or anything. That's not the point. The point is they want to whip your ass. That's the point.
Yep.
And it's like, well, they want to whip my ass over something I said. They don't just want to curse me out. They want to beat my ass. This goes beyond anger. This is just enraged. This is just, and I mean this seriously. You said this before about, I don't, where it's gotten to the point where you say, I don't want to just go just anywhere because I never know when I might meet somebody and they just decide, well, hell, you know, I can make problems for myself, but I knock this nigga off or just whatever the case might be, that they're just that
yep.
thrown off. We're not dealing with anger. This is just I am enraged at this point. And
mm-hmm.
you just don't want to give them an opportunity to act on it because, truthfully speaking, and this is just the truth, there are people who would act on it if you gave them the opportunity.
Yep. And I wanted people to understand the difference between the anger and the rage. And I don't know if anybody have ever ridden a horse, but just a term would be rage. And I tell people this all the time. Rage is unbridled. Rage is something you cannot control. Rage is something that has to be released. See, anger can be masked. Anger can be covered up. Anger can even be controlled. Rage cannot. Even the individual who is in the midst of rage will look back when the rage dissipates and think to themselves, how did I get here? Rage
you know
is
like
what happens when you kill your whole family and you sit there and you turn yourself in because you can't believe you just did it.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I was thinking the other day here, because I did go back and listen to your broadcast here the other day when you were talking to Lashea, whoever that is. And, you know, you were sitting there talking. You made a very good point to repeatedly say, wait a minute, ma'am, I'm not raising my voice to you. I'm not talking to you just any old kind of way. And look how you're going off like this right here. And, you know, that's really a situation where it's like if you've had somebody who's – let's just say you've had somebody who's cheated on you and you've made the decision or mistake, depending on how you see it, of staying with that person, and then you start thinking about it and it's a few weeks later and a few months later you figure it'll go away, and then you're sitting there looking at it and it's like, you dirty bastard, you cheated on me. And you don't say anything, but it just keeps coming back and keeps coming back, and you start getting angrier and angrier and angrier about it. And then you're sitting at the dinner table with them, and you're laughing, and everything's okay. And then, you know, it's just you're watching the TV show or whatever, and it's like, yeah, that's – oh, did you see Scandal? Yes, she's just like you, you dirty whore. And it's like, oh, where'd that come from? And then it's like you realize that, you know, this is bubbling beneath the surface, and at some point you can't contain it anymore. You know, the facades and everything else, that's not really what you want to say. What you really want to say is, you dirty, cheating bastard, I want to kill you. And at some point, that's going to just break through everything. They can't sit on it. They can't contain it. They can't remain civil. It's not a matter what they want to do. They can't do it. And it's all this, the lying, and the part that hurts them most is when they're put in the situations where they have to be civil with you. That's the part that makes them the most angry, is because that's not what they want to do. And when you try to force them to be civil, it's like, but I don't want to be civil. I want to beat his ass. That's what I want to do. and so when you sit there forced them to sit there like that, that drives them more nutty than anything else right there. So civil discourse is just out of the window. And it's a shame and it's unfortunate because we have become known as the people of uncivil discourse.
Thank you.
We
and
have
that's
become
why I was
known
saying.
As the people of uncivil behavior.
And that's why I was saying, that's why it's gotten to the point where they're almost justified every time they shoot us. That's why they feel quite comfortable shooting one of us, that they get in a disagreement and they will say, stand my ground. That person was, you know, those black people. And you literally can go into court with that. You can go into court and say, well, you do know they have a propensity for doing this. And that's how so many white people have gotten off, because we have a propensity for running our fucking mouth. Not a propensity for doing something. Let's just get it straight. Because if a race war broke out, black people, I say it again, out of all the people on the Chinese checkers board, we'd be the first group to get all our little marbles taken.
If a race war broke out, black people would last maybe 2 days. We are the most undisciplined. We are the most unprepared. We are the most... I'm going to say unorganized. It's supposed to be disorganized, but we're the most unorganized. We are the most unfocused. We're the most unmotivated. Forget everything else. Brother, are we, if a race war even broke out, would we be motivated enough to survive? Now, understand what I just said.
We would just join somebody's ranks. We would ask them to let them, we feel more comfortable fighting for someone else
someone else's
principle than our own.
Okay, you're correct about that. You're correct about that. However, my point, though, is would we even be motivated enough to fight for our own survival?
That's what I said. We fight for somebody else's cause. We'll fight for the Vietnam War, but won't fight for the black cause.
Yeah, I mean, if you got 100 black men together, how many of them could you count on to be motivated enough to fight for their own survival, to even pick up a gun in their own defense?
Yep.
That they would even, could you sit here and say, I'm sure, I guarantee he will do it. And we couldn't sit there with a straight face and say all 100 of them would. Maybe 10%, 20% at the most. Once we start reaching that tipping point, which is basically the 70%, which is the overweight, they bastard baby makers, single mothers, so on and so forth, you start having to say, nah, we pretty much restarted. Don't you know that when you only have a 30% motivation rate, you don't survive in a wartime situation with that? You can't survive when only 20 to 30% of your people are motivated enough to survive. You don't live through something like that. We are the people who will talk the most game, will talk the most smack. Let me tell you something, brother. You understand this. White folk are not scared of us. White people
Thank
are not
you.
Afraid
Thank
of
you.
Us. We like to tell our, I mean, black women like to tell themselves they can get loud and rowdy and so forth. Let me tell you something right now. In the UFC, the most dangerous champions right now, the black fellas, Anderson Silva, John Jones and his white girlfriend, wife. We can go down the line, what's the name, Ben Henderson. The black men dominate mixed martial arts. Now, there are female mixed martial arts. Can you name me one black female mixed martial artist? Let me just make this very simple. No, you can't. Black girls and the Brazilians dominate that.
Yeah.
So black females can tell themselves all they want to. Their folk are scared of them. White folk are not scared of you. You can be loud. You can be rowdy. You can be whatever you want to be. White women don't have to get into a fist fight with you.
Thank
you. But let me tell you, if it ever just came down to it, don't think for a second that they can't sit up here and get motivated overnight. Don't think for a second that wouldn't happen. They just don't want to soil their hands. And they
Thank
don't
you.
Have to. That's the only reason it hadn't popped off like that. But let me tell you something, and you and I have both seen it. You go find a white girl in the hood, and she'll be up here, and she'll be just like the white boys are. She'll be four times faster to get into a fist fight with you. Take a look at that MTV show Single Moms, whatever, the Teen Moms. Go take a look at the white girls on there. Police, throw down with you in a minute. And we live under this self-imposed delusion created by the matriarchy that the females are just the top of the food chain, that everybody's scared of them, everybody's intimidated, so on and so forth. And it's a joke. And it's intimidated your boys is what it does, because they are the real force that's supposed to be leading the society, and instead they're waiting on the females to do it. And everybody has just become disillusioned, so much to the point to take a look at your guest tonight. I mean, take a look at her. Now, this is where you can be quiet and just let me get my opinion on this so you don't get in trouble. But, you know, did you see how she contradicted herself?
Several
now,
times.
She says that her dad left, so she was raised by her black mother. And I identify as black. I see myself as black. Did you see how unwavering she was about that? She was unwavering about her black identity. And then you started talking about her husband. And all of a sudden, black identity went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what this schism has done, where she can tell you that she's unwavering in her blackness and then turn around and tell you, but you know what? I'm not really trying to live in the neighborhood like that.
But see, that's what I was saying. And I kept trying to get her to get that part when I kept saying, don't you think it makes it harder on black women when you can do what you're doing, which is constantly claim black, but know you have a difference between them? And know you would actually prefer to be with the other group. If that other group accepts you, you will fly over there. It is the exact same thing I said to Soledad. When that other group accepts you, you flew over there. We're just a convenient. It's like if I got a girl and I got a side chick. Well, the side chick is fun, but I'm not leaving my girl for her. And if my girl leaves me, then yes, I'll go move in with the side chick. But as soon as my girl say, come back, let's work this out, I'm leaving that side chick.
Black people are other people's food.
Yeah.
And what people do is they use us as the place, as the holding station where they stack their chips up and get themselves big enough so they can go someplace they want to be. I mean, understand something. Well, I identified as black. Well, from what you just told me, ma'am, however, you were never allowed the opportunity to even attempt that little white experiment. You were never even allowed to even try to do that. So at what point in your life did you, quote, make this decision? because all I heard was, well, I went off with my mom. So what you really mean is you never actually had a decision to make. This is where you grew up. But when you had the opportunity to make a decision, and all these black men in the NFL, and you bypassed all of them, 90% of the NFL you walked clean past. 90%. Just strolled straight past it. But yet you identify as black, really? And you just strolled straight past 90% of the employees. How in the hell does that kind of thing happen by choice? I mean, by accident. It doesn't happen by accident. That happens by choice. How in the world did you do that? That's not an accident. You finally, as Chris Rock said, a man is as faithful as his options. Well, guess what? So is a woman.
Yep. And when she realized, and let me tell you what she did, what she was able to do that the other girls weren't able to do. Like how the girl who was the stripper who was on my show last night. See, that girl could get a lot of attention with people saying you got a big ass. But the girl who's on my show tonight, she didn't have no big ass, didn't have no big breasts. But she was able to get a man to marry her. The other one's just able to get people to screw her. Well, what's the difference? Like you said, she had always had access to black men. We were the blow-up mattress, is what I told the people in the chat room. We were the blow-up mattress that that guests sleep on. Well, I always got access to the blow-up mattress. But I don't want to put that on my bed frame. I don't want to sleep on that thing, put sheets on it, and have it around a nice bed frame. No.
You keep
and that's
a blow-up
what black
mattress
men were
until you get
her.
Enough
she
money to go buy a real ahead. Bed. You keep a blow-up mattress until you get enough cheese to buy a real bed. That's what
yes. And when you get it, you put that you deflating that thing, you put it in a closet. Now, you know it's good for when guests come, and you blow it up and let them sleep on it. But you ain't going to sleep on it no more. And that's what happens with her and a lot of them mixed chicks with black people. We are the blow-up mattress. We're comfortable to sleep on other than the floor.
And this is what we have become. We become the futon. We become the daybed.
Mm-hmm.
We become the inflatable mattress, the inflatable couch. We're not what people want to keep. And the thing that you have been dogmatic about, and I have been, and some other people have been, and this is, I hope, is a renaissance of black male leadership, is that we're not happy being the damn disposable mattress anymore.
Nope.
We're not happy with that role anymore, and we're not going to take that any longer. And nobody's going to intimidate us with this heroin god complex any longer. Let us just say it. Let us just be straight down the line, and we're going to talk about single mothers tonight. Let's just say it just like it is and declare this tonight, February 2013. The matriarchy has failed. It's a failure. The mother state has failed. It's not on its way to failing. It's not going bad. We've had a matriarchy. 5 decades. It's failed. It's finished. It's done. This mess don't work. If you want to destroy a people, you make a matriarchy. We've proven it now. If you want to destroy a people, you make a matriarchy. It's time to put the men back in the driver's seat.
Landa?
Yes. Am I on the line?
Yes. Jump in. I heard you try to jump in.
Yeah. When I'm listening to this guy talk, you're making such a profound point. I'm thinking about what was it, the Lynch laws?
The Willie Lynch letter.
The Willie Lynch. And that's what it was, is he created a matriarchy. And did he not create that specifically to destroy the black family?
Well, think about it. They're doing it with everybody. Look at what they're doing. Well, think about it this way. Look at what America's trying to do to the Middle East. They're over there trying to tell them, you need to let your women vote. You need to make sure they don't cover their heads. You need to make sure your women can blah, blah, blah. They're trying to rile the women up to overthrow the men, because they know as long as the men have been there, and have you noticed, no matter how much they go over there and fight in the Middle East, they ain't never able to take over because the men
are
leaders.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely. And you know what's interesting, too, getting back to the whole single mother thing, when I first decided to leave my husband, my son, you know, he's only 14 now, but I always told him, you're the man of the house now. Because I was aware of that dynamic. It doesn't work like that. You know, I'm a woman. Okay, yeah, I'm a single mother. Do I like being a single mother? No. I'm not a single mother by choice. But you're absolutely right. The matriarchy has failed. And it wasn't really designed to work that way. It wasn't designed to work as a matriarchy, I want to say.
And I'm glad that he said it. Go ahead, Jason. I want him to elaborate.
The reason
that
matriarchy
said it. He laid the law down and said,
yeah, and
let today be the day we admit openly Not right. underscore, not me on a couple of videos, not Jason on a couple of videos. We all come together. What is it? A come to Jesus moment?
A kumbaya moment. But you know what? Yeah. And I will admit it doesn't work. And that's why, you know, in my situation, you know, it's a difficult thing. But even I don't teach my children that, you know, I have two boys. You know, and I don't want them to end up with a woman that's going to talk down to them or degrade them or make them feel a certain way about themselves. They need to grow up to be men.
Now, there's a reason for that, though. And there's a reason why you don't do that. And it's got nothing to do with sociology or psychology or any of that stuff right there. It's because that is the natural order of things.
Yes, and the thing is I made a decision to follow the natural order of things because – you know, like I was talking to Tommy before, I'm doing this whole retrospective thing on my lifestyle, and I'm looking at it, right? I'm looking at the situation with where I grew up from a broken family, a single mother, whatever, and I look at where it failed. And is not insanity when you continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result?
Well, the reason why it fails is because we as men, our purpose for being, our natural predisposition is to build things. Our natural predisposition is to create things. For women, their natural predisposition is to caretake. I don't use the word nurture because I don't really like that. Their natural predisposition is to caretake. For example, when a baby starts crying, men as logical, mechanical, building creatures, we look at the baby and try to determine and think our way, why are you crying? A woman simply picks up the baby. I mean, but that's what we do. We sit there and look at him and say, okay, are you hungry? Are you sleepy? Is somebody screaming? Why is he yelling like this? And we try to think our way through it. Women are better with children because they understand that children are not at a thinking stage. They're simply at a feeling stage. And what's the first thing a woman does? She picks up the child and tries to feel her way through what is disturbing the child. And more often than not, she succeeds and we don't because she thinks and she is doing the right thing, which is feeling, but that's what they do. Now, when the children get older, things flip-flop. You don't feel your way with your children. Once they reach a reasoning age, you think your way through it, and that's where father knows best. Because, we passed the feeling stage, and women don't really specialize in that as a group. Now, if you just want to destroy a society in a world that is built on math and built on science and built on English, put the feeling people in charge of your society and watch it crumble around you.
That was Willie Lynch's purpose, was it not?
I say it all the time, Jason. You know what? I say because you're dealing with an emotional group, and I remember, and I'll just say this, and I'll bring in somebody else to come in here with us to talk. But I will admit something, and y'all don't know this. I'll admit it, and I hope Jason don't mind me telling the story. Jason and I stopped talking for a while, and we didn't ever explain why we didn't stop talking. That was the difference between Jason and me. Let me explain. I did what a man who's raised by a mother does. I responded and reacted emotionally. Jason didn't say a word. He just backed away. But from a man who's trying to become is trying to have an awakening, I stepped back and said, I reacted emotionally to something. And as a man, if I was a man and I saw another man act that way, I probably would have backed away too. So I reached out to Jason and said, brother, we have the same goal. We need to get back on the same team. I overreacted to something and he didn't say, you know, I just bothered me. He didn't have that discussion with me. Because this is one thing that men need to know how to do. React like Jason, not like me. I don't need to argue with you. I don't know you enough to argue with you. You got your way, I got mine. Go ahead and go your way. He pulled a Fleetwood Mac on me.
That's a good one.
Am I lying, Jason?
Well, like I say, I've just tried to – you understand and I understand that our biggest problem as black men has been that everybody is able to predict exactly what we're going to do.
Yep.
And if you saw the second Matrix movie, you know that the premise of the architect's foundation of the Matrix is that he could already predict what your reaction to every single conceivable probable situation was going to be. And if we as black men want to reassert ourselves, the first thing we have to do is stop responding exactly the way everybody thinks we're going to respond. And I mean that on every level, not just, you know, between you and me or us and other people and whatnot. Like when people do things like George Zimmerman, we need to start reacting to those things differently than the way we've been reacting. That's going to be the difference here. We as black men have made it a situation where we spend so much of our time trying to feel good or trying to feel better and spend so little of accomplishing anything. You know, I'll give you a case in point, you know, and this is one I keep coming back to. Vince McMahon of the WWE, pretty much half of his world champions have been people at some point he's fired for one reason or another. And then he's hired them back. Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, Ultimate Warrior. We can go down the list. He never let anything that he personally felt get in the way of his objectives. And since his company went public, he hasn't let anything. He had fallen out with, what's his name, Dwayne, The Rock. And guess who's the world champion of WWE right now? Dwayne, The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He has never let what he felt get in the way of his objective. But here's the real question, though, brother. Do we as black men even know? You asked this question a couple of days ago when the stripper was on there, and I'm like, you know, I wonder how many people understood. First of all, you handled that extremely well, by the way. You let her keep talking and let her keep explaining and let her keep saying all this garbage. And, you know, a lot of people probably felt that, you know, maybe you should have handled it more like what they think I would have, but that was wrong. You handled that very, very well. You let her keep speaking because she kept contradicting herself. And it's not up to you to sit up here and have an aha moment. That's what everybody's waiting for, is an aha. That's wrong. Let them keep talking, let them expose themselves. And when people hear that stuff, they say, okay, now do you sound like that? But you made a very good point when you asked her, okay, what's the end game? What's the objective? What's the goal? What is the purpose of your shaking your ass and everything? What's going to be the end game here? What are you going to walk away from this with? Because if you can't tell me what you're going to walk away with, then there is no exit strategy. There is no end game. This is just a tactic. This is not a strategy. And she couldn't actually answer that question. And we as black men, we need to start developing a strategy, an exit plan. What is our actual goal in the things that we're doing? Or are we just doing something today because this is what I feel like doing today?
Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you say that, and I'm glad you said that. And ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by my man, the Black Authority. Make sure that you go and follow him on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to his channel. If you want to hear just, I mean, me, I use a comedic aspect. This man is one where every time he's speaking, I could just listen to him speak. Because, hell, they used to say back when I was young, they got the anointing. And what that meant was, it just basically meant that you felt like somebody's words can be manifest into actions. That it's not just that they speak, that their words actually can move you. And I keep telling you how powerful words are. And you go subscribe to him at on YouTube, The Black A-U-T-H-O as in Z, not O as in the letter O, R-I-T-Y. Make sure you go and subscribe to him. But you're right. I had an email from a woman who went off on me. And she was light-skinned. And it's like, that's why I know I'm doing a good job, because everybody argues against the other person's thing. So if everybody's mad, then I'm doing right. Because she said, If she was light-skinned, you would have went off on her. You got a problem with light-skinned people. You let her talk because she's dark-skinned, and you let a dark-skinned person. I was like, wow, that's funny, because I was just accused of hating dark-skinned women. So I'm doing a good job.
And just the week before, you were accused of letting white folk run roughshod right up until Beth called in.
Yep.
when a person comes to the table with a predisposition that you're just wrong no matter what you say, then nothing you say is going to satisfy them. So, like I said, if you're ticking off everybody, you're probably ticking off the right people. So long as you're remaining consistent, that's what's important.
And the thing is, I like the idea of us being sincere. And in sincerity, ladies, you have a woman who's on the line right now who's a single mother who's saying, this isn't working. You have a man who moderates, who comes from a single mother, who is raising a daughter back and forth with the mother and still saying, even though we're great, I still see how my daughter is missing a real family. I still see how she has to decide, I just hurt my knee. Do I want my father's sternness or my mother's compassion today. Child should not have to make those decisions. A child should be able to go upstairs because mama pissing me off downstairs. But instead, my daughter has to wait a week, wait 2 weeks, wait a month if I go out of town. Same thing when she wants to go back and forth with her mother, because we do provide different things. My daughter's 7, and I watch how she speaks to her mother. It's funny. They're like buddies. They all argue about shit, and I keep thinking, why is she letting that 7-year-old talk to her like that? Because they're women. They're relatable. Their relationship is completely different than mine and hers. It is totally different. But blacks, we do not get to experience the dynamic of human interaction. Please understand that this is what we're saying by this show, which is creating the violence that you see, because we as blacks are losing out on the dynamic of human interaction when all we're being raised by is the emotional side of us. That's what mothers provide. No matter how strong someone tells you, and this should be an insult, black women, when you're always referred to as strong, even the mixed chick who never described herself as strong, you see how she did that, Jason? But when she talked about the black women, she said, oh, I know a bunch of strong black women. You didn't notice that?
I noticed that, as a matter of fact. Like I said, there was just so much that was going on in that phone call that I noticed there. And I was like, you know, she shows some of the problems here. And I've mentioned this to you before because, you know, you mentioned this. And I had a biracial friend of mine, and I was telling her about that. And she agreed with it completely, something that you said. And when you and I talked one time, that, you know, biracial people are crazy. And it's, I mean, literally the society makes them like that.
Yep.
Because what you made a very good point tonight, which is that, you know, when we talk about how bad white society is, we're talking about them rednecks over there, them people back over here. But when she talks about it, she's talking about dad. Now, that's a hell of a difference.
Yep.
When you're talking about, quote, the bad guys, and when you and I are talking about, we mean them, but when she hears us talk about it, we're talking about her father. And let me tell you, brother, that is what Dr. John Henry Clark meant by the bastards of history. This creates this incredible schism where she wants to identify, but unfortunately, and this is just the way it is, period, we just have to accept it, you eventually settle into a situation where you simply identify out of convenience. You
thank
simply
you,
try to find what is most convenient
you.
At the time.
Thank you, because you got to think about it. If she's sitting up there saying, we as black people got to do this and we got to fight about the man, but in one breath she realized the man is her daddy, so then she'll say, well, you got to stop blaming the man because, well, you're blaming my daddy. And my daddy didn't do me. He didn't do me something.
Yeah, well, it goes beyond that. He didn't do me something. No, he didn't do you something. And that's what she'll be saying to us. Well,
yep.
You know, they're not all like that. My dad didn't do this to y'all. So what you got is basically it doesn't matter how long or how many times we have a meeting with someone like her in the presence. It's always going to be a hung jury. There will always be a hung jury. She will always be the no vote. She will always be the innocent vote. No matter how much the evidence is against it, she will always simply be the vote that tells the rest of us, no, you can't. No, no, it's not that bad. You can take some more. And when you're biracial, you learn to take abuse. When you're biracial, you learn to take the insults. You learn to take all that stuff like that. Now,
let's take it from both sides.
Yeah. Now, let's bring this back to what you were talking about here tonight. Because a lot of these females are biracial and don't know they are. Oh, what does that mean? All these heifers out here, and I said it just like I'm in it. All these heifers out here, dark as Tommy, black as the bottom of my shoes, talking about they're mixed. Now, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen around the world. There's only one thing worse than being a mixed-up biracial, being a wannabe mixed-up biracial. And that's the only thing worse. Now, when you're sitting up here, and I'm not going to say no names, but you know who you are. When you're sitting up here making videos, and you're dark as me, damn it, and I'm black as Wesley Snipes, by the way, and you're sitting up here making videos dark as me, talking about I'm mixed, talking about I'm half Italian. Which half? The half of your eyeballs? What are you talking about? You're not
you
a
know,
half.
Tommy.
Just because you got a pot of ragu does not make you half Italian. What the hell do you mean by that? But this is what we have to put up with as black people, a civilization, a society, a race that is being led by individuals who they not only are they jealous of the ones who are what they wish they couldn't be, but they sit around all day in this psychosis telling themselves that they are the people that they can't be. I mean,
yeah, Jason, if we allow that group, you gave a complete analysis of the psychosis of these people, of the psychosis that they're in. You gave a wonderful examination. Now, these people who you just described and the condition that they're in, you're going to let people in that condition lead your children?
And now don't tell me that this is an accident. This is not accidental. You take a look at, you were mentioning about women before and in the Middle East and whatnot. Let me tell you something here, brother. And everybody knows the United States Senate is what, 100 men, 100 women, whatever. It's 100 people. Wait, because I was just playing with you right there. It's 100 people. 100, okay, let me see. So white people make up 70% of the population. Black people are 12% of the population. How many people in the United States Senate do you have? 100. How many of those 100 are white males?
I would say out of 100, what would it be about? What, about 80%?
Okay, how many black senators do you have, male or female? How many black senators you got?
Well, at that point, we would say, what, 4?
Try closer to 1.
There's 1 black senator?
Remember, Barack Obama left. They brought in Burris to replace him, who ain't going to stay, by the way. But understand that. We're 12% of the population, but 1% of the Senate. Now, understand something. These white men understand social engineering in a way that you simply do not. Now, Tommy, you went to school for psychology, which you learned the world of Sigmund Freud. Now, this was a man who spent his entire existence studying the human mind, how it reacted, how it responded to social situations, to stimuli, to depressants, to changes, to the point that he became the father of psychology. Why? Like the architect. There was a reason why the architect looked like Sigmund Freud. He looked like Sigmund Freud because, much like Freud, the human mind at the end of his life bored Sigmund Freud, and it bored him because he could already predict what people were going to do. It didn't surprise him anymore. Now, you take a look at society in general. Now, if people sit here and putter around and stumble around, we're sitting here wondering what the effects of welfare were going to be. Patrick Moynihan told you what it was 35 years ago, what it was going to be. Now, if he knew it then, he was not the only white man in the United States government who knew this. The rest of them knew this as well. He was telling the rest of them, don't do this. This is not a good idea. Unfortunately, he was in a severe minority at the time. Now, you take a look at it today, brother, when they make moves and they make changes, the three strikes law, Bill Clinton was under no illusions what that was going to do. But the drug laws, do you notice how the drug laws are treated differently from everything else? When you are a drug dealer and you get arrested, what immediately happens? They immediately seize your assets. The money, the cars, the house, no trial, no nothing, we immediately seize them, and you got to go to court to get them back.
Yep.
Now, you tell me any other crime that you can commit in this society, pedophilia, embezzlement, insider trading, they don't come and seize your assets. They don't do that. Even in the case of Bernard Madoff, they didn't immediately start seizing and freezing assets. It was only once they couldn't find people that they started doing that. But when it came to drugs, oh, yes, because understand, this targets a certain group of people. And so we treat this differently than the others.
No, it's just everything. It's everything. So, you see that the difference between crack and cocaine. Well, because one is a designer drug that white people use, and one is one. I mean, just everything that you see what they do. The fact that I tell people all the time, there has to be a reason why you look at why they enforce child support the way that they do, because they want to make sure if you give women power, women are like children. If I give my daughter a certain amount of power, she will abuse it. She just will. And even though she's not a bad child, if I give her the power to stay up till 11, she'll stay up till 12. If I give her the power to go and get one ice cream snack, she always asks me for a damn second. It is what children do. Well, they have designed women to be the same way. And there's nothing wrong with women wanting to be frivolous. It really isn't. The problem is they shouldn't be led. There's nothing wrong with children wanting to push the envelope. The problem becomes if when children hold the envelope, when children have, they have carte blanche to do what they want to do. And what we're going to do is we're going to bring some more people in here to join us because there was a woman who had a question for me. And it's myself and Jason and Lando's on the phone, and we're going to talk to you guys and see where this goes. Well, let me answer the line here and see what did she want to ask me. Yvonne from the 410. Yvonne, what did you want to ask me?
Oh, hi, thank you. I didn't necessarily have a question. I wanted to comment on the post that you put on Facebook with regard to, single moms and violence, children. I'm actually a product of a single mom. My dad was not in the picture, 26, now married. And I do think that there's validity to what you are saying just because of how I grew up. And I know that earlier in my adolescent years, I was very, very, very violent, went through a complete phase of just promiscuity and just kind of, I had a really big identity crisis, couldn't figure out who I was, what I was, what I wanted to be, and I didn't know really where all that stemmed from until I got older, after I got married and kind of started to do some soul searching. So I definitely think that, I don't want to necessarily blame my mom. She is deceased now, but there was a period in time growing up that, and she was addicted to drugs. She kind of the run-of-the-mill black African-American woman having, you know, a lot of children. She was at one point married to my dad, but he left. But being raised by her, I had always idolized her, and I always thought that she was the greatest thing since sliced bread. After being removed from her home and being abused and just going through a lot of different things, I still held her in high regard because I felt like that's your mom. You don't disrespect your mom. You can't question your mom. That's your mother. She did the best that she could. And it wasn't until I became grown and really started to realize that those things weren't okay. And those things that I had gone through and experienced as a young child were really ugly things that a child should not have to experience. And, in the situation that I am in now with my husband, we're raising our daughter, and I'm trying to do it completely different. But there is a point that I could definitely recognize that violence, I think, is just a part of that because you have so much aggression. I know with me as a child, I had so much aggression because I had been abused. I had gone through so many different things, and I just didn't know what my outlet was going to be. I just was kind of rolling with the tide, if you will. But it's true. I mean, a lot of the women that I know that have single, they're single and they have children, multiple children, there's a lot of animosity and a lot of anger, a lot of resentment. And I think a large part of that is because, you know, men are not in the home and they're not in their rightful place. So that was my comment. So far, great show and great guest, by the way, as well.
Well, thank you, Yvonne. I want to ask you a question because you brought up something that has something to do with me.
Okay.
And maybe it has something to do with a lot of other people here, too. Uh-huh. And I'd like to hear Landa's take on this with you. And I would just want to ask you, I had the same thing. I had this idea of you cannot express that what your mother's doing wrong, but I knew at a certain age, this isn't right. The way she's speaking, the way she's acting, the things she's doing, that isn't right. But I'm supposed to swallow that. So like you, I basically turned my body into this experiment.
Right.
I was fucking people and wasn't happy. I'll just put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like my only outlet was this one thing that I possess, which is this body. And I used it for the most ridiculous crap because I didn't know who I was. I was searching for me. And it sounds like that's exactly what you said.
Yeah, with me, I feel like the best way that I can explain it is that the hatred and the animosity and the resentment that I held towards my mom, I actually took it out on myself.
Yep.
And I have to chime in. I did the same thing. And that's why I'm doing this whole experiment on YouTube, because I'm trying to reconcile a lot of the behaviors of my mother and how that made me the person that I am today. The kind of stuff that she did. And I feel the same way like you did, Tommy. I always knew my mother was wrong. And, mm-hmm. and I remember at one point, I even turned to my father and I was like, why did you marry her? In front of her. I was so disrespectful because I was like, Dad, seriously? Really? You know, and my father just shrugged his shoulders like, well, she was a nice lady. You know, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, how did you? But see, they're not, you know, they weren't. And she's, my mother also is deceased now, too. Mm-hmm. And may she rest in peace. And I feel like you know, she did a lot of wrong things. And it really, now in retrospect, I can look back and a lot of the decisions and mistakes that I made, you know, were kind of the result of the brainwashing that she kind of did to me growing
yep.
up.
It's really sad. I mean, I'm almost 27, and I feel like I've lived enough of my life probably twice over, and
yep.
I'm now getting to the point where I'm starting to sit down and say, you know, you really had some crazy stuff that happened, and sometimes even my husband, he's like, what the hell is going on with you?
Yeah, and you're a lot younger than me, so I'm finally coming to a point where I'm really taking a good, like you said, really doing some serious soul searching and
mm-hmm.
trying to understand myself and why it is that I did some of the things that I did, why I allowed some people to do, men per se, to do some of the things that, you know, and it all really, when I think about it, and it's not that I don't think that any of us here are blaming our mothers,
mm-hmm.
but I think we're just being truthful and we're just recognizing certain things. And
I mean, this is cathartic. If you think about it, what we're doing, because I love it when people say, I'm you're black woman bashing. And I keep telling them 65% of my audience is black women.
Right.
They're black women because they know I'm not lying.
No, not at all.
No, you definitely have a point. And I've seen different videos and things and people have commented on how raw the material is that you cover. But I tell my husband all the time, and he knows this, I don't generally like being around black people. As you know, the Baltimore Ravens, they just won the Super Bowl, and there was this big to-do about going downtown, and I was like, I don't want to be around all those black people because something's going to happen. You just already know you're going to get there, and there's going to be just drama. So I stay away from it, and he's always like, you know, you hate black people, and I'm like, I just don't like what we as a culture, we as a people represent. There's no come-togetherness. There's no, you know, I'll help you, you help me. There's none of that. And if there's ever an opportunity for multiple black people to be in one location at the same
Amen.
Time, I just will not be a party to that.
You know, I said, do you know I have not been to a New Year's Day party or parade since 99?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I mean, it's,
you
just,
wanna
it's
live.
Just what we... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, because he wants to live.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's sad. It's really sad. And we, you know, my husband and I, we get into it all the time about, you know, this whole black people thing and how for your people you should be. And I'm not saying that I hate black people, but I hate what we represent. And I hate that if I'm standing in a store that's predominantly white with a few black people, I may not even be with them. But they're looking at all of us, and there's a reason why.
Yes.
Because every time you turn on the TV, this is what you see. And even if there's a small percentage of us that don't act like this, we still get kind of thrown in with everyone else. So I really don't like to be around a whole bunch of them at once, especially those that are just out and about, because, yeah, I do want to live, and I do like my peace of mind, and you definitely don't get that when you have a big group of us together.
Mm-hmm. We can't do little simple stuff like even YouTube with common sense.
No.
We as black people can't even YouTube with common sense. There was a guy
and
who
that's
had
a shame.
Go ahead.
And that's a shame, Tommy, because, you know, I was watching your video today about the censorship, and, you know, one of the reasons, too, why I enjoy your videos is because I enjoy my privilege of freedom of speech. And whether or not these people agree with what you're saying, I agree with you 100%. They just turn you off and just don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But
we are so used to the only thing that – but you have to understand, as black people, we're used to the only thing that we can hurt are each other.
Right.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So we take pride in it. Have you noticed there's a petition out trying to get me banned that's on the Internet. Started by a girl who used to be a listener who got mad at the way I talked to her on one show. So after hearing me talk to her in a way she didn't like on one show, she went from being a fan to, I want to get his stuff banned. Let's get his sponsorships taken away. And I kept thinking, who does that?
Yeah.
A bunch of whiny, smarty little females. You know, it's an interesting thing, though, that you got there, though, Tommy. Isn't it very interesting? Now, you notice how they responded to you when you start talking about single mothers, and you know some of the vitriol you get. Isn't it very interesting that they never, these females who attack you, they never, ever, interestingly enough, bring up the fact that you're a single father, by the way.
Yep.
While they're doing all that stuff, they never sit up here and say, well, you're a single father, you know, like just like with the your daddy black thing. Isn't it very interesting they never bring up the, well, you're a single father? They never say that.
Mm-mm.
Now, the one reason...
And
one
they
reason
will never...
Already,
go ahead.
Well, you've already ahead, disarmed them as far as that's concerned, which just drives them freaking nuts, by the way. You've already disarmed mm-hmm. them because you said, I'm a single father and don't be like me. Now,
yep.
I got to ask you a question here. When was the last time that you heard a single mother say, I'm a single mother, don't be like me? And
have you noticed that no matter... Have you noticed, Jason, that no matter what people say about what I'm doing... That's always my message. I keep telling them, if you listen to what I'm saying, I'm talking about what happened in my home, in my life. I'm not calling you out. I'm calling out my life. But they take it so personal because the whole point is my life mirrors a lot of other black people's lives. So you always think I'm talking about you.
It's worse than that, though, Tommy. It's worse than that because now what your caller just mentioned here right now, that was, as I mentioned before in your broadcast, in other places, that is the single most diabolical thing that has developed out of this matriarchal structure. The most diabolical thing about the black matriarchal structure is the black woman is God.
Yes.
And by that, I yeah. mean that your mother is deified. She's it's like Norman Bates' mother, and I mean that literally the way I just said it. There's a whole society of females who set themselves up. The government pays their bills, so they're never responsible for their actions. In other words, now by that, what I mean is they are never responsible to prove that what they're saying actually works. You can really sleep with all these people, have all these bastard babies, have all these babies by all these bums and all these no-good dusty niggas, and prove that that actually works. Because when you have to pay your own bills, you have to prove that sleeping with all them dusty niggas actually work, and you got to prove it within the next 24 hours. When somebody else is paying your bills, you never actually have to prove that you were actually right. So
yep.
children grow up in this system where the lights are on marginally, the food is taken care of marginally. Mom is never required to actually validate any of this, and she can live as wild and crazy and foul as she wants to be and tells the children, well, this is all right, this is okay, your daddy ain't jack, your dad, there was nothing going on there. You only hear one side of the story is a dogma, and you are never allowed to question it for even one day of your life. That is a religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing that it has done is it has created a situation where we have a matriarchal structure that is akin, is its own religion in black society, that we stick up for the female, for the feminine, and you never question it. You never stick up for the men at all for any reason, even if they're right. You still
yep.
say, well, mom is right anyway. Even if the heifer is dead wrong, you are never allowed to say something as simple as, wait a minute, Ma, I love you, but you're wrong. You're
right.
not even allowed to say, this is a situation where if he knows that she's wrong, the best they will tell you is, well, just don't say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
now,
I compare.
Dad's wrong, make sure you shut the hell up.
Well, if you notice, that's why I keep comparing. I know it makes them mad, but I compare black women to retarded children. When retarded children could pick a gallon of milk out of the refrigerator and throw it up against the wall, you got to just pretend it was okay. This is
yeah.
what black women have gotten to. No matter what they do, we have to literally, when Tupac came out and said, even though you was a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, that's the dumbest ass line ever expoused out of somebody's mouth.
Yes, but then again, who are the majority of the consumers? And
exactly.
when you elevated these women to be, when the women have been elevated and whatnot to be consumers that make, the, in our society, they are elevated as the most important people. Now, in white society, the men are the most important
yeah.
people. Why? Because they have the majority of the money. Not because
yeah.
they are the biggest spenders or the most biggest consumers, but because they have the majority of the money. So in a white structure, you are taught to gravitate to power. In the black structure, you are taught to gravitate to buyers. And
yep.
this is what we have where the men are now imitating the traits of the women, because that's what you've been brought up as. As men, we have not really been taught the cycles of power, and making things even worse. And I talked about this on an impromptu broadcast of mine the other day on my site, where I was talking about how, you know, Bill Cosby and some of these other people right here, tell me, what are they leaving behind? What is their legacy?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what they're passing on. Now, Donald Trump, you can tell me what he's passing on.
Right.
And Michael
Absolutely.
Bloomberg, you can tell me what he
Absolutely.
Is passing on. Even though he has no children, you can tell me what he's passing on his children. Can
yeah,
somebody
you know
please
what?
Tell me what tell me what Tyler Perry is passing on? Tell me what who he is grooming to who is he grooming to take over the family business or what?
Oprah doesn't even groom anybody. Oprah's grooming Gail. Go ahead, Landa.
I wanted to make a comment. You said something about I lost my train of thought. But it had something to do with that matriarchy. And I see the dynamic, too, in my family. Like, my father, you know, like, I'm doing that whole self-renewal thing, and this is why me and my cousin got to talking a lot, is that we can't get answers from his mother. But my father will never say to his mother, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and the woman has done terrible things. She had three children by three different fathers. My father doesn't know who his father is, and I think my aunt didn't know. I don't know if any of them knew who their fathers were. But my father, he'll never say anything bad about his mother. Not that he should, but he'll never say, wow, that's messed up.
Landa, let me correct your words. You remember you said say anything bad?
Mm-hmm.
We confuse words, and that's why I like what Jason did earlier. We confuse words in the black community, and that's why we fuck up all these words and make them all mean something different where you can't even call somebody fat without them making it a nice acronym, without them making bitch a nice acronym. It's just stupid. Well, you said he won't say nothing bad about his mother. But in essence, the real truth is we can't say something factual about our mother.
Exactly.
How's it bad to recognize I just fucking farted in the room and everybody's turning up their nose? And somebody say, nigga, you farted. That's not bad. I just farted.
Right.
We're being told in black society, we're told that under our matriarchal religion that we cannot tell the truth.
And I have to, I agree. I stand corrected. I agree. And that's what it is. And that's what this whole thing has been with me and my cousin. You know, we want to know who we are or who these people are. But like you said, they will not give us any factual information. And my father, you know, will stay in his ignorance because
The crazy part about all this is that if there's no other part of your society, there is no other part of society at all where someone would tell you that the truth is bad and you would simply accept it. If you had a newspaper and somebody told you that you were reading the newspaper and the truth was bad, what would you say? If you turned on Fox News and they're telling you the truth is bad, what would you call that? You'd call that propaganda. You would say, there's no way in the hell I'm going to go along with this. But you're sitting right in your own homes and you've been indoctrinated and inculcated into the cult of the black feminine that you cannot even speak the truth when it's sitting right in front of you. And like I said earlier, it's time for us to start giving some reactions that they don't expect, because what they are expecting is that we are not willing to call this bull crap out for what it is and to point the finger at, and let's just say it like it is, point the finger at your mothers and your grandmothers and say, I love you, but damn it, you were wrong.
That's why I said it's
just
simple
like
thing.
That.
It's like the hardest part about women, and we're going to bring some more people to join us. The hardest thing about women is like, I'll listen to women, they'll tell me how logical they are, and they love the truth. They love the truth. And I'm like, you're still a woman. Because here's what you do if you want to get a woman to get out of that logical state. Like, she'll ask you fucking somebody else. She'll ask you have a job. She'll ask you how many kids you got, and she'll want straight answers. You can ask a woman you just met a simple question, and she'll avoid the hell out of it. Here's the question. Two questions, actually. How old are you? Now, if you went to a car dealership and you ask them, what year is this car? And they refused or acted like that question you just asked was somehow inappropriate, or they didn't want to just throw out, it's a 96, you'd think they were trying to swindle you. But talk to the average woman, and y'all talk about dating and getting together and being together, and you say, how old are you? She'll avoid that question. Now, why would you avoid that question? But if you said to a man, do you have a job? And he said, my bills stay paid. You'd be like, what the hell does that mean? I asked you a direct question. Give me a direct answer. If you 50 and I'm 30, we still can date, but you're willing to hide 50 because you think saying 50 is going to bother me. But then in the same breath, you'll say men need to be honest. Well, how can this group who are raising children expect men to be honest When I remember as a child, I recognized that hypocrisy in my mother. I recognized that she wanted my stepfather to be 100% honest. But this bitch would lie about all kind of frivolous shit. Is that your hair? Yes, it is. Or why did you ask? If you ask a woman how much you weigh, she'll get fucking offended. But she'll ask a nigga how tall he is. She'll ask a nigga where he working. I've had women even ask, how much does it pay to do that job? If you as a man tell a woman that that question is inappropriate, she calls you a liar or that you're trying to hold secrets. But a woman, she shames you when you ask her simple questions. As a man, if I'm trying to date any woman, I tell a woman, look, if that man's trying to date you, he got a right to know how damn old you are. He might be trying to start a family, and he can't do it with a 50-year-old. So for you to say age don't matter is bull crap. Age don't matter for a man because Larry King is still skeeting and can make a family. But age matters for a woman because Oprah can't produce shit but some more damn shows. That's it. So if you want to know why we have a problem in our society, especially in the black one, because white men can't get shamed by their women like black men can. Black men get shamed by getting called faggots if they ask regular, normal questions of a black woman. We get called everything in the world, even from children. Remember talking to our mothers as children? Boys have a logical thought. And when we start asking our mother's question, what was her response? Because I said so.
But then again, white men have not been inculcated to worship their mothers. And number two, in the black home, when you have your first female figure, and this is the horrendous part about that, your first female example in your life has, when 7 out of 10 of us, 7 out of 10, the first female figure in our life has got a bunch of bastard babies and men, no man that you cannot say, this is the man of my mother's life. When you can't say something like that, don't you know what a horrible thing that does, not just for your sons, but even worse for your daughters?
Yep.
Because your daughters never grow up with a concept of carrying on a respectable, virtuous family tradition. There is none. And in the case of this young woman, she's gotten married, coming from a violent home, and obviously the illegitimacy and everything else that comes on there. She doesn't have to go into salacious details because we all already know. And now she's trying to invent the wheel. Now, we had this Skipper guest on a few days ago here, and this constant inconsistency that demands that it be given script here. I mean, she was just not going to be wrong about a damn thing. There was just nothing she was going to be wrong about. She contradicts herself all over the place. The one-way sign has got arrows pointing in both directions, but she's determined she's going to be right about all this. So I'm a stripper who's a college student. First of all, you know, Tommy, you and I have heard this our whole lives about all these college students / strippers our whole lives, and yet somehow the universities are never cranking out a whole bunch of stripper graduates. It's just a bunch of stripper students for some strange reason here. But all right, the 30-year itch, all right, we'll just take it from there. But this young woman was talking about her kid, and, well, we had a baby with some dude, and what she didn't say was she had the baby, and as soon as the dude found out she was pregnant, she didn't have a dude anymore. She didn't say about that part right there, and I'm raising it. Well, he knows he has a child. So you're smart enough to have a 4.0 grade average, but ain't smart enough to pick a nigga that can stick around for his kid. All right, perfectly fine. We'll just go ahead and put that to you right there. We'll just chalk that up to that was just a fluke right there. But then when she sat up here, and this is something that you hear all the time and I hear all the time, and this is what, for young fellas, this is what drives them crazy, because you and I are older and we've seen a lot more, but for young fellas like Leroy and whatnot, this drives them nuts when you have a female who says something similar to what she said. You've heard this before when they say, well, why are all these women out here having all these babies without getting married? And what's the answer that they universally give? Well, why don't these dudes stay and take care of their children?
Yep.
Now, wait a minute, but what did she just tell you? What she just told you was, she's willing to stay with the guy. Now, that's what she just told you. Well, if he had stayed and taken care of his children, yeah, but the problem is he couldn't stay and take care of the child without being around you. So what does this tell you? This tells you that these females are having these kids to keep these guys.
Yeah.
That's what it tells you.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, let's just be straight up dead about it. No, and we're not allowed to tell the truth about that. Mama, you had 4 kids by 4 different niggas.
Thank you.
Yeah. At some point, the bait would ring somebody, and it didn't happen.
That's what
and
I said.
And we're not allowed to sit here and say that.
But that's what I said in my last video. I said it's 2 things that happens. They have these kids because it's a couple things. No, it's 3. Threefold. 3 things they know are going to happen. If I have this kid, I'm going to have it to see if I can keep this man. If I can't keep him, I can keep a hook into him because for 18 years, he's going to have to acquiesce to me. And if I have this child, I also know that one thing I will constantly get from this child is a check. This child will bring me a check. It will bring me status. It will bring me sympathy. Have you noticed in the black community that once a black woman has a baby, she can no longer be called a whore? I've listened to black women call their friends whores, but their friends won't have kids. She just fuck all kinds of people, but she don't come up with no baby. Have you noticed that black women make fun of white women? Oh, they fuck just as much as us. They just have white. They call white women easy. Who would you call easy? The motherfucker who putting out 70% plus kids out of wedlock? Wouldn't that be the easy motherfucker, the motherfucker that's got a 50% rate of STDs? Wouldn't that person be considered easy? The person who has 60% of their kids are born by 2 different men? Wouldn't that person be considered easy?
We're the first generation of black men who've turned around and started questioning that. This is the first time in history that black men have started asking that question and saying, hold on for a second here. Let me ask you something about some of these babies you had, whatnot. We're the first generation of black men who have had the guts to ask those questions. And that is what's going to change things, is by the men actually saying, you know what, love to sleep with you, but I got a few questions here. Yeah, there's something more important than sex going on here. Let me ask you something. And when
that's
you start
what I
asking
hate,
questions
Jason.
Like you asked her, man, it just drives them crazy when you start doing that.
No, and you guys are... Y'all got to turn me off in the background, whoever got me on. Oh, that must be. I think that must be the caller. I think that's the caller that was. That must be Yvonne.
Oh, no, I'm just on my phone. I don't have it on. Oh,
okay, cool. All right, we're going to bring in somebody. We're going to bring another person, then we're going to go to a break. I'm going to bring another person because let me tell you what I have hope for. And this is why I love my show. If y'all notice, I can have a whole bunch of women just call in. My show used to just consist of just women. But all those women are looking for, and they like to be around real men. They don't mind letting a man be a man. Now, they're leery of if a man will do it because typically these black men, let's just be honest, black men, while y'all all on the show and y'all thinking, yeah, I like this shit, you can't be the damn man I'm talking about and then expect somebody to treat you better.
Tommy, I'm sorry, I got to step on you here for just a moment. When you talked to that stripper there the other day, and I hope everybody understood, because I didn't want to blow your horn too much, because I was like, people don't understand what Tommy is doing right now. They really just don't get it. For everybody who didn't miss the broadcast on Tuesday, go back and go listen to that, because I want to tell you something. Do you know how many times, and I mean, I listened to it, how many times she sat up here and acknowledged the fact that you called her a hoe, you called her the B word, she acknowledged that over and over again, and then she said, but I didn't take that personally. And I'm like, he's sitting here on the broadcast, he didn't back down from it, he didn't sugarcoat it, he didn't say, well, I meant it in such and such a sort of way. He said, yes, I said it just like that. And before the show was over, she was laughing, she was joking, she was talking about y'all could get along. Now,
I
understand something. That wasn't
let me tell you something, Jason. Here's what's funny. I want people to so understand that I know what the crap I'm doing and that they can find themselves there too. And the audience can tell you, I would type into the box what I was going to get her to do before she did it. I was able, hell, I don't know if you probably didn't hear, there was another conversation I had with a young woman after the show. That woman started crying. She called in at one point and wanted to say something because, you know, women typically have a script. That's what I call them all actresses, because they got a script. And when they meet you, they want you to play the script. When you go on a date with them, they want you to see them in a certain way. They have a script. And I keep telling women, or men, black men especially, you got to be able to throw a woman off that damn script. I spent the whole time telling them I could get her to do exactly what I wanted her to do. And like you said, Jason, I literally got to the point where I was able to get her to do whatever I wanted her to do, because the one thing I do that they rarely see is a nigga just come straight up and be like, yeah, I want to fuck you. And even though I want to fuck you, what you just said was stupid.
and said it just like that. I mean, you didn't sugarcoat it. You didn't try to find some way to rationalize it. You didn't try to tell her, well, let me explain what I meant. You said exactly mm-hmm. what you meant. You put your dime on it and left it right where it was, and it was up to her to deal with it like it was. But you did not move. And every simp, every clown, every trick who's out there thinking to themselves that, well, I have to beg for it, I have to acquiesce, and they're going to respect me more. There is a reason why 9 out of 10 black men on the internet, off the internet, everywhere, are complaining about the women, and 10%, one out of 10 is not. And the difference between the 1 out of the 10 is that he's not begging, he's not acquiescing, he's not trying to figure out what she wants to hear or say exactly what she wants to hear. He is being himself, he is being a man, he is being truthful, he's saying it like it is, and that's just the plain difference. When you said that these dudes who are out here gassing these females up who are not about nothing, you making 4s and 5s, think that they're 9s and 10s. Don't you understand that all this lying is not solidifying nothing for any of us?
Yep. And it's hurting the
whole. It's not
doing
the women any good, and it's not doing the men any good. All this damn lying and deceit and covering up, you aren't helping anyone at this point.
But think about this. I got that woman to laugh and to talk about fucking me.
Yep.
Just straight up, you gonna get this pussy. After all of the crap I said, why do you think that is?
Because this was the first time in her life that she heard a man be a man and say exactly what he was thinking. He didn't try to figure out how to run game. He didn't try to figure out how to sweet talk. There was nothing she could come to the table and bargain with. You didn't come to the table trying to sit up. Well, I want you on my broadcast so we can discuss how I'm going to do this. You said, no, let me come on broadcast. I got some questions to ask you. And when she realized that sex is not on his mind, I got to come and negotiate with something different. When you put them on that status where, wait a minute, she got to bring something different, all of a sudden, and you're asking questions that she did not have answers to. You were saying, well, you know, Ms. Stripper, what are you going to do with this political science degree? You can't go into politics. Well, I might go into politics. Well, you can't go into politics. Well, I might not go into politics. I might do something totally different. Well, I might be a professor. Well, you know, you can't do that either, by the way. It's, like I say, she had never had a man sit up and treat her like a human being. She's had men running games, men running tricks. That she was prepared for. She was prepared for if you were going to try to be an undercover trick. She was prepared for you to try to come up the draws diagonally, sideways, from the moon, upside. She was prepared for that, but she wasn't prepared for you sitting down and saying, oh, no, there's not going to be any sex at the end of this conversation. I just got a few questions for you, ma'am. And by the time it was over, she was the one trying to figure out how she could placate you and not the other way around. That's what a man mm-hmm. is supposed to do.
Right. Even the woman who I talked to tonight, she has never had anybody ask her them questions and make sure they point out to her, it's kind of convenient for you to call yourself black. She never had anybody say that to her. Most of them haven't. Because the dude sat up there so damn thirsty that you could see Gatorade flashing across his fucking forehead and underneath his chest and said, is it anything? I mean, you these old Pedialyte-ass niggas, they so thirsty as hell that they allow a woman to say whatever. And after a while, people understand women, again, I'll analogous them to children. Children actually want accountability. My daughter thinks I care about her because I tell her, you got to go to bed. Because I tell her, do your homework. Because I give her tomorrow, I'm going to do a big to-do and show and hang out with her the whole time about her recital. Because she sees that there's a thing that we've lost in the black community, and that's the one thing single parents have a hard time teaching their kids. Before we go to the break, I want you guys to understand this one word, and then I'm going to come back with a bunch of phone calls. I talk about it all the time. Accountability. It's very hard to teach your children accountability when you are the single share person of discipline. You're the single person, share person of truth. You're the single share person of knowledge. You're the single share person of compassion, because you can't do them all at one time. The great part about having, you remember there used to be a saying called, it takes a village to raise a child?
Yes, amen.
But have you noticed in the black community, we have changed it to where a black woman does a fantastic job by herself and don't need the father, much less the village, just the father. Don't y'all see how destructive that would be? when we know, I know that it takes more than just me and my daughter's mother to raise my daughter, because she has so many influences, and they all need to be influences that are set to make her grow. It is the equivalent of having a garden. It takes more than just fertile soil. You need to have the right conditions with the wind. You need to have the right conditions with the weather. And if any of those things go wrong, you can make your damn crop fuck up. You be like Clarence Beeks and give the wrong crop report. This is how we should look at our children. But the fact that we don't view our children as valuable commodities. Do you understand, black people? The United States of America views your kids more valuable than you do. Don't believe me? Look at your child's social, which is traded on the stock market. Your child has a higher value than you put on your child. We as black people do not value this precious commodity called our children. These are the people who will decide what direction the country goes in, what direction your community goes in. Hell, how about this one? What retirement home you go in?
Huh. Or if you can go to one.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Why is it that we as black people do not look at our children? I'd love to have a couple of more kids because I want to be able to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm an old last man, but hell, when I see Larry King did it, I'm like, I can do it too.
The reason we don't value our children is
for the sake of doing it.
We don't value our kids because we're not passing anything on to them.
Thank you.
If we actually had something to caretake and to build up and to cherish, to say, this is what I gave my life to and I'm passing it down to you. White people passed on their constitution and their Bill of Rights to
their
children.
But who's really giving their life to something? You talked about... But who's really giving their life to something? You talked about it earlier. We as black people don't fight for shit of our own. We're not giving our life for nothing. What black man you know sit up there and say, I got this woman pregnant. She got a baby. I got to give up going to the club. I got to give up hanging on the streets. I got to go and get at this work at this factory job. And I'm going to work at that motherfucker for 5 years. And hopefully I can move up to Matt. You know, and I work my ass off. That's the one thing I can tell you about the Hispanic side of my family. They all believed in I'll work my ass off and die. But I want to make sure my child doesn't have to work their ass off the way I did. That would be that was all the men's thought. Yeah, they drank a little bit and did stupid shit. But they always thought, well, since I got it, let me go ahead and just see what I can do and leave something. And it wasn't that much, but they would leave just enough to where you would see the progress, to where you wanted to progress farther than them.
And this is what makes all that wacky yakky so dangerous, because when your women who are not white women identify with white women to the point they wish they could be them, what they say is the accomplishments of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, those are our accomplishments.
Yep.
So I don't have to leave anything to my kids. I want the fake white women. So what he did, those are our accomplishments, even though you have nothing vested in, you have no investment in it, you have no inheritance in it, and thus you're not passing on to your kids anything there at all, except a housing project that ain't even yours.
And if you think about it this way, simple as this, the biggest argument that you hear black women going off on me about is me telling them that they look better without the infusion of European hair. And they fight me over saying that. Do you understand? I've said it on several shows. I'm going to keep saying it. Do you understand how crazy it would be for any woman to have her man say, girl, you look good the way you wake up in the morning. I love the way you wake up. And she get mad and be like, fuck that. I want makeup and lipstick. And I want. You be like, what? So the man told you with no work, you're the most beautiful. And you said, no, you should wait for me to go and work my ass off and change myself completely. Then you should find me beautiful. That's what black women say to you every day. That you should not find me beautiful. That's why you see so many Aunt Jemimas walking around the fucking neighborhood. When a black woman does not have her fresh ass perm or weave, she wraps that crap up and walk out in public looking like a dumbass. But she'd rather look like this with this thing wrapped around her head than to let you see her real hair. Do you understand how crazy that is? Do you understand what the mixed breed said when she was on the show? It just looked crazy with those lace fronts. Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you ever want to associate and say to yourself, she's black just like me. When she just said, "Y'all yeah, look crazy with that lace front. I don't need that." Because I know y'all like my hair. Because I know when I was 3 and 4 years old, y'all used to play in my hair when I was little. Because I remember seeing little girls play in my other cousin's hair, the ones that had the stringy hair.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing them talk about how great their hair was. That I remember the little girls sitting there and plaiting their hair all day like they were actual baby dolls.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy.
And you don't think that this is part of the destruction of the black community? Because let me tell you something. When little girls have their fathers make them feel special than a son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when they also have their fathers, their father shuts the mother down from saying stupid shit. Because when mm-hmm. my daughter's mother says some stupid shit to my daughter, I might let her get away with saying some stupid shit to me. Because I'm a man, and, you know, you're supposed to beat me down. But you say some stupid shit to my daughter, we going to argue and fight about that motherfucking shit there. What'd you say to my daughter? That's the argument. Because fathers are protective. Very protective of their damn daughters. And give you another example. Imagine we have a son. You know what the one thing a man gives his son that a woman never gives her son? The truth.
Oh.
See, a father tells his son, you know, I used to fuck all them hoes when I was your age. You don't need to do it. A father tells his son, if you're going to fuck all them hoes, make sure you wear a condom. A father tells his son, a lot of these whores only want to be with you because you're on the basketball team. He sets his son down and tells the truth. You know what a father also gives his daughter? The truth. See, a father will say, your daddy wasn't shit when he was coming up. Yeah, your mama got with me, but I was doing a lot of crazy crap. These men that tell you they want to be with you, they lying. They just want to fuck you. But see, a mother sits there and lies to her son and never tells her son, you know, mama used to be a hoe before I settled down. How many mothers you know right now have ever told their son, I used to suck all kind of dick. I only fucked your daddy because I was lonely. I fucked your daddy because he had a little bit. He had a nice car and I was trying to get half of it. How many mothers have ever told their damn son anything negative about themselves? They don't. These are the same group of women who have a problem just saying how old they are to a person means nothing to them. So surely they're not going to be honest to someone they want to impress. But men, we're used. But think about men. We're used to being self-effacing. We get picked on if we still live in a house with our mama. All while a woman can live in a house with her mama and still get niggas to date her. A man that rides the train is a scrub. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Sitting on the passenger side of his best friend's ride trying to holler at me. But the same bitch can be in a car full of four other bitches and all get out feeling like divas. Well, you didn't drive, bitch. You hang out on the side of your best friend's ride trying to get me to buy you a drink.
Does anyone remember the famous picture of Madam C.J. Walker in her car? The famous picture of her sitting in her car, and she wasn't by herself. That goes back a long ways. But you know what? For ourselves as men, that's supposed to be a standard. We make the standard harder on ourselves.
Yes.
Because that is what we do, because we are supposed to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And the worst thing that you can do to a male is tell him, okay, the bar has been lowered. And if you all doubt anything that Tommy just said about the father's role in their lives, all I can say is take a look at Tiger Woods, who had his father in his life. Take a look at Venus and Serena Williams, who had their fathers in their lives.
Yep.
Now, go take a look at 90% of the NBA and the NFL. Any questions?
This is your brain on intelligence and knowledge. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to come right back because I love the way we end it right there. We're going to answer you guys' phone calls. We're going to jump and let everybody jump in, and we're going to have fun. And I mean it this time. I know before I always say I'm going to let everybody, and then I let people talk for like 30 minutes and the show be over. I'm going to let y'all get in because the lines are full, and I promise. I'm going to let you guys get in. So here's what you all got to do to me. When I let you guys back in, when you're talking with us, be quick. Say what you got to say. Get it out. Make your point, because we're talking about single-parent households. We've had two men. We've had two women. We've all agreed. And think about it. Jason's not a single parent. He was able to keep his sperm in good in fertile soil or non-fertile soil, however you want to put it. But me, I was just the shit just here it is. I was Tommy Appleseed. So here I am, single father. But I was able to admit. Landa was able to admit. Yvonne was able to admit. This is not healthy for us as a culture. So we come back. If there's some people who think it is or think that it's not a problem or think we make it too big of a deal out of it, you let me know. We're going to talk to you guys and be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you know who I am. You know what this is. This is Your World.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on internet radio with your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Keep it. After working here for a few years, I knew it was time to move on. But I wasn't the only one trying to start their career, and everyone else was way more qualified. When I finally found a job I could get,
birthday,
I was pretty much back where I started. Then I saw a commercial for Westwood College and decided to give them a call. At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom, and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
Hello, loyal following. Tommy Sotomayor here. You guys know, and I get asked all the time, do you ever sleep? Well, yes, I do sleep. But on the times when I can't get those 8 hours of sleep, I have my own little secret weapon that keeps me going. What is that secret weapon, you ask? Well, it's my little friend right here, a 5-hour energy shot. That's right. With zero sugars and 4 calories, I feel good and confident every time I take a shot, every time I take a bottle. But if you're not ready for the full 5 hours, just take you a little bit. See how it makes you feel. Me, I get no crash and I get hours of energy. So it allows me to get on here and rant for hours. So if you want to get that 5-hour energy burst or whatever you need for that little pick-me-up when you get that 2:30 feeling any time of the day, go out and get you some 5-hour energy. Me, my favorite is the grape. But you can try the pomegranate and you can try the citrus flavor. 5-hour energy. Hours of energy now, no crash later. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Tommy Sotomayor. This is a message to the loyal following out there. You know and I know there's nothing better than a nice, well-dressed man in a suit. Now, with the budgets being as tight as they are, a lot of people cannot afford a nice suit. Well, that's untrue because my friends at CustomSuitShop.com have made the custom suit available and affordable for all price ranges and all budgets. That's right. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. They believe that they're witnessing the return of the elegant gentleman, and they are dressing up again. They want clothing that fits right and is comfortable and looks great and makes a value statement. That's what my man Louis Morgan of CustomSuitShop.com wants everyone to know. See, what they can do is they can come to your home, perform 20 key measurements, and then hook you up with a custom suit. You know people getting tired of wearing suits off the rack. Not saying there's nothing wrong with suits off the rack, but how would you like to have a custom suit made to fit you, the way your body contours, the way you move? That's what you can get at the Custom Suit Shop. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. There are 3 locations. They have one in Marietta at 1395 South Marietta Parkway, Building 100. One in Charlotte, North Carolina, Oh, South Towers. Then they have another one in Birmingham, Alabama. That's right, three locations where you can get your custom suit made. So go to CustomSuitShop.com and make sure that you mention Tommy Sotomayor sent you. CustomSuitShop.com, where with prices like these, you can't afford not to look good. Just log on at CustomSuitShop.com. That's CustomSuitShop.com. And call at 404-869-3113 if you're in the Atlanta area. If you're in the Birmingham area, call at 205-541-9469. And if you're in the Charlotte area, call 704-552-3690. And tell them Your World My View sent you. And now, more from the man that's able to make even his own dog question their friendship. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor. I got my friends here with me. I got my man Jason Black here with me. We're going to talk with you guys a little bit. We got Landa on the line. Yvonne is still here with us. We're going to bring in another woman, then we're going to bring in a man, because I got to talk to my man RC. I haven't talked to him in a while. So let me bring in, there's a couple people. So the name is JR, and she's a female out in California. JR, how are you doing?
Hi, Tommy. I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. What do you want to talk? What are your thoughts on this subject we're talking about here?
You know what? I've just recently found you on YouTube, and I've watched all your channels. And about the single parenting mother, I'm Asian. And I'm from L.A., and I grew up with primarily my friends that I grew up with were Black girls. And, you know, half of them already have kids, or single mothers, and now I'm the only one without a kid yet. And they always tell me, well, you're next, you're next. No, I'm not. I want to be a wife. And,
why does it seem like having a child as a Black woman is like this rite of passage? I've dated girls.
Yes.
For some reason, I attract a lot of girls without kids. I don't know how that worked, but I always attract women without kids. And they would always tell me about how people would look at them like they're crazy for not having kids.
Right, right. And they kind of, well, that's funny because, you know, you're going to be old with kids, and we just going to be in our 40s, and our kids are going to be grown, and that's fine. That's fine, you know, and they kind of just kind of like, oh, you're going to be an old mom. And I mean, I'm 27, you know, and I want to be married, and I want to do the right things. And sometimes I see them and what they teach their kids, and, you know, and just putting makeup on, and, you know, not even putting a book in the kids' hands. And you know, and it's crazy to me. And watching that video of the crazy hood mother getting tased in Atlanta, and how all the children were right there. I mean, if I was there, I would have just took all those kids and just took them away from that area. Like, I thought that was just insane.
Thank you.
And, you know,
can I ask the young lady a question, if I can?
Yes.
You got
I
it.
Hate to interrupt. I just wanted to ask, if I might, you said that you were Asian. May I ask, are you mixed Asian or are you real Asian?
No, I'm Burmese. I'm from Burma.
Okay, you're from Burma. Yeah, we are calling it Burma again, aren't we? All right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we are calling it Burma again. So
it's Myanmar. You know, they changed it, but Burmese people still say Burma.
I was about to say thank you, because there's been a renaissance from Myanmar to Burma. I think people should keep it like that. Don't let white folk tell you what you are. All right.
Exactly.
It's the truth. Don't let white people tell you what you are, because, hey, they called us African, American, Negro, and we've just been screwed up ever since.
They called us colored one time, and they the ones that change color every time they get upset.
Now, you know, I want to ask her, okay, now you said, well, I grew up around Black females, and, you know, they got pregnant and I didn't. Let me ask you, since you did grow up around them, why didn't you get pregnant?
Because my mom and dad would have beat my ass.
Okay, first, ingredient number one, my mom and my dad. Now, tell me, why were they so, why was this so problematic for them?
Well, you know, I guess it's a culture thing too. You know, it's, you know, it's just frowned upon. I mean, my sister recently.
Why?
Because they want a mother and a father. It's, you know, our culture is just like being in a single mother. It's like, oh my gosh, like, no, it's no way. You're like looked upon as, it's just a shameful thing, you know? And they know that, you know, my sister and I were Americans. We were born and raised here, but my mother and dad definitely installed that in us to make sure that we're married first and have a family. And you know what? I have to be honest with you. In college, you know, and when some of my friends had a kid, I've even had that thought, well, you know what? If I actually did get pregnant by my boyfriend, I'll keep it. You know, I've even had that mental state one time in my life because of what was happening around me, you know, and who you hang around does affect yourself. And
now, are you still in college?
Oh, I'm done.
Okay.
My
question's here. I'm a firm believer that we fill our time with something. And we are going to fill our time doing something. And if you don't have if your goal in life is to have kids, you are going to do that. And if your goal in life is to be with some no good dusty nigga, you're going to do that too. And if your goal is to make something of yourself, that's going to override everything else, and you're going to do that. So whatever you make your goal is what's going to override things. So I guess, have you ever thought to yourself, and I'm just asking, don't let me put words in your mouth, was the fact that you didn't have kids maybe the difference? Do you think the difference maybe that you had a different goal, that you actually had a purpose, something that you were going for, as opposed, and that maybe they didn't have that?
I was about to say, I don't think she had a different goal. I think she actually had a goal. If you missed the conversation I had with the young lady when she started crying, I told her, I said, you would never have had a child. And it was a white lady. I said, you would have never had a child by a black man if you had something going in your life. You had nothing going in your life, and that's why you laid up with a black man that was twice your age and had his baby at 19.
And that's who all I date. That's all I date is black men. And, you know, my friends, and let me try to articulate this. Now, as I get older, I want to be the best when I become a wife, because I am going to be a wife. I do not want to be a baby mother, and I want to have that family structure. I cannot wait to have kids and just raise them the right way. I have a little beautiful black goddaughter, and when she's with me, I, you know, read to her, and I tell her I love her, and, you know, because sometimes she gets a little spoiled, and, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to strive to just become a good mom. I just do not want to be a single mother. And, you know, my friends, well, I don't even, you know, associate with some of them anymore. Now that I work with, now that I work down and where I work at now, these women, these white girls that I became friends with, and Asian and some black women too, no drama, no cattiness, nothing like that. From where I come from, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, like, these girls are so nice. No, and none of them have kids, and it's like, I'm just changing, you know what I mean? And like, with hanging with girls from back in the past, it was always some drama. It was always just talking about, you know, he ain't this and this. Well, girl, look at the type of men you hanging out with, you know, like,
how old are you?
I'm 27.
Okay. You're 27 years old. Okay, now I'm going to tell you just a brief. Go ahead, Tommy.
Well, I just wanted to say this, and it's something that Landa said as well, and it's something that I think Landa and I probably liked about what we were hearing from Yvonne, and it was this. Yvonne and anybody else at that age around 27, especially JR, when you guys have had this awakening at that age, see, what Landa and I are saying is we didn't get it at that age. We wish we had it at that age.
Right.
We didn't get it at that age. Landa's having it now. I'm having it now. My daughter brought this on, and I tell people all the time, before my daughter, I was the dumbass simp that everybody else knew. I thought that was the way you live life. When I had that little girl and I started realizing how I, when I started realizing, one, I was a whore. Two, I wasn't even a good whore because I wasn't even enjoying being a whore. Because to me, if you're going to be a good whore, enjoy your whoredom.
Right.
See, most of us aren't good whores because we fucking and we bringing in kids with it. We fucking and we bringing in all kinds of problems with it. We fucking and we breaking ourselves down. And hell, I mean, you look at somebody like J-Lo, like Dick, they claim they used to call her Hey-Ho. But what did she do? She had goals. And one of her goals wasn't to be no damn single mother. That's why she didn't bring in no damn kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you notice the difference in vocabulary that the young lady that our Burmese friends has been using? Did you notice some of the difference in vocabulary there? Now, she's 27 years old.
Oh, just some of the words made me feel good.
Yeah, but I mean, but think about that, though, what she said about her friends and whatnot. Now, she stumbled upon this. I don't even know if she even noticed it. But, young lady, did you notice that you said, you were talking about your friends having kids, your friends having children. You said, now, my goal was that when I get married. Now, did you notice that that's what you said about yourself? That your goal is, well, I have to get married. You didn't once, not even once, when you talked about several things about their characteristics and I don't fool with them anymore and cattiness and whatnot, the one thing you didn't mention was marriage about any of them. You never mentioned it at all. You also mentioned your mother and your father. Now, without you even saying anything about that, how many of your friends who were off dropping the load before they got out of college, how many of them had a mother and father influence there? I mean, these are key differences. I'm pretty sure we already know the answer, but we're just going to play along here anyway. Were these some differences between you and them, or did you all just come from two-parent homes and you just somehow grew up differently from the rest of them?
No, two of them definitely, like my closest girlfriends, we're all daddy's girls. We do have both mother and father in our lives. But some of the past friends from back in school, yes, they did not have fathers in their lives. And one of them, I remember, she was just so upset that she was pregnant with a baby girl because she wanted a boy. She was like, you know, goddamn, I'm having a girl, you know, because she clearly didn't want her daughter to be like her and her mother before. Because I remember her mother used to leave her alone at the house when we were in middle school. And we're like, where's your mom? She's like, oh, she's gone. Like 13 years old, just by herself at the house, you know.
Can you tell me something? I hate to interrupt here, but can you tell us about your father?
My father, he's just a great guy. I remember when I was young, just to, you know, give you a quick story. My mother and father, I'm first generation here, and my mother and father, they fought a lot, and they used to fight a lot in front of me, and I was the oldest. And when a man is yelling, a man is yelling and you're a child, I used to think my dad was going to, like, kill my mom. But they were just fighting, right? So my mom used to just tell me so much, like, your daddy, this and this and that. Now, that's not only black women. Asian mamas do that, too, you know, because my mom used to say all this stuff, and they used to fight. And I resented my father for a long time. I resented my dad for 2 years. Those 2 years, I had a really bad relationship with my boyfriend because I took it all out on him. And I remember one day he told me, man, you know what, Jay, all you do is nag. When he said that, I'd rather him had slapped me and called me a bitch instead of told me I was a nagger.
I had a girl tell me I was a nagger. Now, talk about how offensive that is.
Yes, you know. So now that I realize now I'm older, now I resented my mom for saying that because my dad was an amazing father. When my dad had a dollar, he would give me $2. My dad, maybe he wasn't a good husband, but my dad was an amazing father. He was always, always, always there for me and my sister.
Now, I want everybody to listen to what you just heard there. To all of the single mothers, the bastard baby makers, the simps, the whores, the super sluts, the welfare queens, the Section 8 people, the deadbeats out there who are running the streets, you got seven kids, you ho-tep niggas and your polygamy. Did you hear what she just said? What she just said was maybe he wasn't the greatest husband, but he was an awesome father.
And
don't
I realize
worry about what
that
your
age.
Baby daddy says. Don't worry about what your baby mama says. Don't worry about what the cackling baby mama grandmother says. Your children at the end of the day are going to judge you on you. And nobody's going to be able to conceal it or lie about it or cover it up. They're going to know who you were, and they're going to know who you weren't. I don't even have children, and I'm telling you, even I know this, and I don't even have children. There is
Jason,
no excuse.
But, Jason, that's where the programming begins, because if you notice with black, the difference between, I will say this, with black women and black and any other race of women, white women say, well, you're going to leave me, but you're not going to leave this baby. They'll drop little Billy off at the dude's house if he try to run away from that baby. They will.
That's
here's
my dad's
Billy.
Name.
Yeah, they'll drop that motherfucker off at the front door. You're not going to run away from your baby. Black women will say, I'll let you live in the house and never work a day in your life if you'll stay
right.
here in the
For
house
sure.
with me. But if you
yeah.
leave, yeah. all of a sudden, I'm going to say you're a bad father. When it didn't have anything to do with my fatherhood, my boyfriendhood might have sucked. But my fatherhood is great, but they attach the two like a carrot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because she doesn't believe.
I'm going to make it hard for you to see this baby.
Yeah, but that's because they have backward logical, but backward reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just certain.
No,
reasoning.
It's not backwards. Because it's backward
because,
reason. It's back what I was saying earlier, because they don't give a crap about them kids. Most black kids are born out of selfish reasons. Those kids, their kids' needs do not matter, because if their kids' needs mattered, they would not be running around the country being ass models and on World Star Hip Hop, but turning around and saying, I'm afraid to let my child hang out with his father because I don't know what it's going to do. That is
that was a crazy thing right there. So you're going to have children with a man that you suspect like that, or all men or whatever. What kind of psycho is this? But what I mean, Tommy, is this type of backward reasoning. What I mean is exactly what you're just saying right there, in that these women, what they're doing is they're saying to themselves, well, I'm not good enough to keep him. And the child is an insurance policy, because in reality, Tommy, they don't think these men will actually leave. They really don't think it. They think that, well, that granddad left grandma and dad left mom, but it'll be different for me. It won't be the same for me. It's different. Why? Mom told me it'll be different for me. And so they march out there in the world with this complete fallacy, trying to make it what failed for the last three generations finally somehow work. And it never, ever does. He always gets up and leaves. He never comes back to you. That child never makes him stay. But when you don't, when the only thing you got in your toolbox is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And that's not this young woman on the phone. She's talking about marriage. Well, marriage is not child. Marriage is where she's saying, I'm bringing myself to this man. I am the reason that this man will stay. These other females, well, I want to have some kids and whatnot. Well, she's not bringing nothing to the man but a vagina and a womb. Well, you can get sex 7 days a week, including Sundays.
But
so
how did this happen? Maybe JR can answer this. How did that happen? May all of you women who are on the line right now, and we're going to bring in somebody else to join us, because I got to bring in my man, RC. All of you women, just help me a quick answer, each one of you. When did it get to the point where we know pussy's abundant, but why is it that it's still supposedly a value commodity when anybody can get it at any time?
Oh, I'll go first. This is Yvonne. I think that it comes down to accountability issues, and then a lot of self-hatred. I've never had a child outside of wedlock, thank God. But I know that there were times when I was before marriage and when I was a lot younger where I wanted to do that whole entrapment thing. I had a guy I was dating, really wanted to be with him, and I felt like if he left, I'm just going to get pregnant and he'll never have, you know, that whole he's not with me thing, because he'll always need to be there. And that was an issue that I had to take up with myself, because it was some self-esteem issues, some accountability issues, some mommy issues. It was a lot of different things. So and like you said, it is abundant. They can get it from anywhere. But I think it's crazy. Sometimes I feel like guys are attracted to crazy.
I'll let you go. I just got to say this. This is such a good conversation, because listen to how honest these ladies are being. She said something that you rarely hear a woman say. Yeah, I was going to keep that. I was like, shit, if I can't keep him regularly, I'm going to have a baby with him. People always look at me crazy because I admit that my daughter's mother was like, this nigga's trying to leave me. She had been on the pill for 6 years we've been together. She thought I was trying to leave. She got off that motherfucker and was like, I want you to come over and do it one more time. And there it is. I'm a father.
And, gentlemen, I just learned and seen from the women that's just so miserable and, you know, and necessarily they're not, you know, despiteful or mean or evil, but I've seen how they struggle. I've seen how miserable they are. And I don't want to live my life like that. You know, I want my children to have a better life. And that's why, like, and you know, from the single mothers, some of the people I used to go to school with talk about, oh, there ain't no good black men. Yeah, there is. There's still a lot of good black men out there. I'm dating one right now, and we're not ready to have kids. We're dating. He's a good guy. He doesn't have kids, and they stay in this circle, and it's like travel. Go out, look. You know, there are good men. They, you know, they still dating young guys, little hood dudes, little Waynes, and dudes that sag their pants, and they ask me to come out and stuff with their hood rat friends, and they get mad at me because I don't want to go out. They're like, why don't you ever want to go out with this and that? As soon as that, I said, listen, the females you go out with attract a certain type of man, and if I go along with you and they see me, oh, she's just like them, because I want to be with an elite man. I want to be with an amazing man. I don't want to be with these little pants sagging, ghetto, little Wayne, no English having little boys. So that's why
Go ahead, dear.
I just want to commend you. I want to really commend you. It's so refreshing and so nice to hear someone your age speaking with some common sense. And saying the things that you're saying, I really want to commend you, and I wish there were more women your age. And in all honesty, I wish I had thought like you at your age. And, you know, I think you really have a bright future ahead of you because you have your goals, your focus, and, you know, what you speak and your ideas and your thoughts, you're going to make those come into existence. And you know what? You're going to be a wonderful mother, and you're going to be a parent because you're going to have those foundations which we lacked growing up.
Right.
And you're going to see the thing, going back to what Tommy said, though, is because your father kind of passed that down to you. You know, so you have something. You know, I had a psychologist tell me once, you know, I couldn't give my kids something that I never got myself. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. But see, you have something to give because you got something. You know, it's nice to hear that.
Yeah,
I want to ask the young lady, though, if I could ask her real quick, the young lady who was talking about she's
thinking
about
bring
having
the
kids to keep the guy, because I don't want to filibuster here, but I was just wanting to ask here, you know, if you did do that, if you were able to pull that off, exactly what were you expecting? I mean, just asking honestly, what were you expecting was going to be the end result? Okay, I get this baby with this dude. Even if he did stay with you for a kid, what did you think your situation was going to be like?
Well, you have to remember, I'm young now, but I was a lot younger then. So in my mind, I created a world in which things were going to go my way. I wasn't necessarily dealing with reality. So my ideal was that we would have a baby and all the problems that we actually had in our relationship, because I knew that he didn't want to be in the relationship. But I went outside of myself and went above and beyond to try to keep him. And I was basically pulling strings. And I felt like, okay, well, if we have a baby, that'll change his mind. It'll turn him around and it'll make him say, you know what, I've created something greater than myself, and I now love this woman. And that was my thought process. So I thought that a baby would bring us together instead of pulling us apart, because it was just something that, okay, we had our issues, but you know what, there was a life that we created together. So now he has to stay. He helped me do this, so he has to be here. He's going to want to be here and go through all the trials and tribulations that I'm going to face, and we're just going to create this family. I was creating something in my mind that I wanted in my own personal life that I had never had. And so I associated my having a child with him to recreate this fantasy life that I wanted as a child growing up, but never had a chance to get. So it was by any means necessary that I thought, you know, I would keep him. And it was entrapment.
Well, let me say this real quick, because I know Tommy wants to take some more callers here. First of all, what you said about, well, I was a lot younger and a lot more immature. Understand something, ma'am. Me and Tommy both know females in 30s and 40s and older.
Absolutely.
With the exact
same pathology and psychology.
Exactly.
So when you sit there and say, well, I was just a lot younger back then, I'm sorry, that don't cut it, because we're seeing these women going out into grandmotherhood. Hell, them two heifers on YouTube bothering Tommy now from the city of his home are probably in the same damn psychological situation. The next thing is, my last thing on that right there is understand something here. And thank you for being honest, because we need some honesty, because we all need to sit around the round table and be honest.
Yes.
Consider this our Truth and Reconciliation Committee. You know, my problem here is that, do you understand something? That when that kind of situation happens, when stuff happens like what happened to Tommy, when stuff happens like what you were talking about, I've got a story like that. There's not a guy sitting in this chat room who does not have a story like that of some black female who sat up here and decided that she was going to take our choices away.
Unilaterally.
And she was going to decide for us what was best for us, whether it's your mama not wanting to tell you who your dad is.
Your mama
don't
want you
to
go to college in Arkansas, so she runs away with your damn letter of intent.
Right.
Yeah. Or she shows up at the NFL training camp acting a damn fool. How do I sit up here? Now, me as a black man with no children, you would think, I mean, I consider from a social standpoint, I'm in the best position I guess a person could be. But please tell me, how do I talk to these young fellas like Leroy? How do I talk to these young fellas like Mike and not have them sit up here and have rancor and bitterness and absolute from the gate suspicion of every single female they meet? It's one thing, you're sitting up here saying, well, why does this guy meet me halfway and meet me with open arms? Baby, he's talked to Tommy. And he's talked to Leroy, and he's talked to Mike. They got horror stories like this, so they're coming in the gate saying, can't trust no hoes. Can't trust no hoes from day one. She's scheming. If the shoe doesn't drop today, it'll drop tomorrow. At some point, it's going to happen. So how do you understand something? It swings both ways on that, because it makes it harder for us to even get guys who are going to go out there and have any type of intent from the beginning when these are the stories they're hearing. They can't talk to another black man older than them and hear a good story. Forget the man ran off. The guy who tried to stay, look what was going on with them.
Here's the thing. Like, with me, I had to come to my own truth, and I had to do that in my own time and in my own way. I can't sit here and say that anything that I did during those times or leading up to the person that I am now that I'm not responsible before, because I've done those things. I can't say that I haven't. But like I said, there came a point in time where I had to actually look in the mirror and say to myself, the things that I was doing were harmful not only to me but to everyone involved. And I had to step away for quite some time. And I actually began working at a nonprofit organization helping single mothers and men go back to work and get into this more productive lifestyle. In doing so, I saw so many stories that were so similar to my own, and I had to, it kind of shocked me into this reality that I had never experienced before, because I was so used to being coddled and so used to being the victim and so used to saying and having people say to me, it's, oh my gosh, you know, this is what happened to you, and you should definitely wallow in that and milk it for all it's worth. So it wasn't until I began to see pattern after pattern after pattern of the same damn situation, and it began to be so draining and just so out of control to me that people actually exist and act like this, and they're expected and want to be rewarded for this kind of behavior, that I was
and
then able
have,
to get myself and say, wow,
you
need
that
to change.
Entitlement.
Exactly.
Yes, a sense of entitlement, because now
we've got
whole teenage generations now. I mean, the last two generations of black teenage females, and the whole, pretty much the whole, I shouldn't say all because I hear when you do that, but the majority, pretty much as a group, the whole of black female teenagers today have that petty schemer gene now, that they've got into an art now. I mean, they're 13 and 14 sitting up here with the trapping nigga baby mindset.
Right.
And I just told the people in the chat room, and I want to share this with y'all before I bring somebody in. I told them, I said, look, I was going through my problems with my daughter's mother. Like, people ask me, did she ever apologize? I said, yeah, she apologized 2 years ago. So that was 5 years into my daughter's life that she finally said, okay, yeah, I fucked you over and then played with you for the first 3 years. And I told him what happened was, after 3 years, I realized the same thing that happened with Jason. As a grown-ass man, I can't sit up here and keep arguing with this woman. That's what women do. And that's the problem between black men and black women. We don't even allow women to be women. We sit there and argue with them women all day like we women. A man is going to say, enough is enough, bitch. And that's what I told my daughter's mother. Enough is enough, bitch. I'm not going to fight you over this shit. If you want to be stupid, you're going to be stupid by your damn self. And I think she realized when I went, there was a point where I went 4 months where I didn't see my daughter. I said, if you're going to try to keep use her as a pawn, you can keep her. I can go make another baby somewhere else. I remember saying that. I can make another baby somewhere else. Fuck you and that baby. I'm not going to keep going in and out of court shit with you over stupid shit. She realized I was fucking serious. That was the first time she changed.
Now, understand something here. What the young lady said earlier about her motivations for having the baby, what you just said about her motivations for having the kid with you, understand something. Black women as a group, they would rather have a dysfunctional relationship with you than none at all.
Thank you. Right. And that's what she wanted. For 3 years, this fighting back and forth, trying to guilt me into shit when I realized, wait a minute. But didn't see how it happened when I was talking to that woman on the phone. You cannot guilt me. Once you, as black men, and that is what we've lost because we never had it because we didn't have a father. It's got to get to a point where we stop talking so fucking much. That's why the Jesse Jacksons and Al Sharptons make so much money and everybody else that's in the church because a nigga do a bunch of talking and no actions.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Most of the Negroes that you know that make a lot of money, he talk his ass off and don't do shit. Tyler Perry talk about a lot of shit. What does he do? What black woman you see him with? What black kids you see him raising? He just talks shit to make y'all give him money. We as black men are just a black woman with a dick. We talk all the time. We argue all the time. If you watch that man in Atlanta, that cop, all them black dudes, they sit there and argue with him for 30 damn minutes about what they going to do to him. Nigga, I'm going to kill you. Nigga, I'm going to kill you for 30 minutes. That's a black man. Notice them white dudes don't do that much talking? Tell me I'm lying. When a white dude get fed up, he go home, collect the arsenal of shit, and show up at your damn high school.
Yeah.
Am I lying?
It's true.
How much arguing do you see white men doing? They don't.
They don't.
Show up with a bomb strapped on the back of their damn
that's
truck
like,
and pull up into your federal building.
Governor Ed Rendell said that when he was in the prosecutor's office in Pennsylvania, they had a saying. If they call, they're not coming. And if they're coming, they're not calling.
They're not calling, that's right.
If they call, they're not coming. And if they're coming, they're not calling. And that's
exactly.
Just the bottom line. Timothy McVeigh didn't send a notice. He didn't send a letter.
No,
your
no
notification
warning, no
was nothing. When the Ryder truck showed up, that was your notice right there.
That was it. Ooh.
And that's what I'm saying. We as black men, we talk so motherfucking much. If we was really going to do something like when Spike Lee sent out that tweet talking about some, here's George Zimmerman's address. Nigga, you tweeted it. You ain't serious.
All right.
Did he go to George
Zimmerman's
address?
If you were serious
with
Spike Lee, you wouldn't have had to send a tweet out. You in the middle of down New York. You could have got some killers that would have drove right down 85 and did the job.
He should have said, what he should have done, I mean, seriously, and I mean this seriously, it's going to sound like a joke, but I'm serious. If Spike really wanted somebody to put in some work, what he should have said was, George Zimmerman said, your mama.
Yeah. You know what?
George Zimmerman said your mama black. George Zimmerman said, your mama black.
Right, then a nigga would have nutted up because, like, that man didn't come outside at all when his kids and shit was acting stupid. Soon as his damn girlfriend, multiple baby mama, gets tased, now he want to show up with his extra medium damn shirt on, talking about what you doing to my kid. And then even then.
In front of my babies, though?
Yeah. Oh. Hey, but he knew that damn taser hurt, so he still didn't buck.
Right.
Notice that? He did a lot of talking.
He just did it so that when he goes home with he can tell her that at least he was in attendance.
Yes. Yes. And then I want to say this before I bring in RC. I want y'all to understand the story I told y'all about the 75-year-old man that killed two 31-year-olds. They motherfucking ages together didn't match his age. They were 62 together. This nigga was still 75. Let me tell you what he did. That black woman kept talking shit, and it came out that she'd been talking shit during her whole pregnancy. And people get mad at me because I was saying blah, blah, blah was insensitive. Look, if you got a fucking pit bull and five kids, you don't need to live in a fucking apartment. Black people can't do shit because we don't know how to collect our finances. And Jason talk about it all the time. If nobody respects the fact that when you have no power, nobody respects that. People respect power, only respects power. And black folks don't have none. And the reason we can't get political clout, because we don't have any economical clout. And we can't get economical clout when we living in a fucking apartment, the same apartment that a 75-year-old single man can afford. Think about it. 75-year-old single man can work his finances to live in the same place as you two grown-ass working adults with five kids and a pit bull? He should have shot y'all. And I know that sounds crazy, but you seriously, because you putting shit on my porch every day. Every day I got to wake up, you putting shit on my porch. I'm sick of this shit.
You know, I mean, we don't have to apologize. We don't have to apologize for this stuff anymore, Tommy. It needs to get rough for black folks. It needs to get tough for black folks. Black folks need to understand that ain't nobody playing with us on no level. Not George Zimmerman, not the other kid who got shot there in Florida. Nobody's playing with Jordan Davis. Nobody's playing with you. This is it. You're getting tased. Nobody is playing no damn jokes. Running your mouth and being loud and rude and ignorant. It's time for folks to show you that that don't scare nobody.
You said it earlier. You said white people ain't scared of black folks, and they doing it to prove to you. All this talking you doing, I got a permit to shoot. You see the two boys tried to snatch the damn chain off of the coach at the school they was damn already expelled from, but the parents is running around talking about, we want answers. You got answers. Call the funeral home and bury your fucking son, because he should have been at home. 16 and expelled from school. How do you not know where his ass is at, but you mad that they brought him home in a Ziploc bag? Shut the fuck up and bury him. Because I'm going to tell y'all now, from today, y'all listen to me. Let my daughter get expelled from school and her ass is back up school trying to fight like that dumbass bitch that was fighting that girl and got her ass beat and then had her to do an interview about getting her ass beat.
Yep.
If my daughter come home with a toe tag, I miss the fuck out of her. But you know what? That bitch shouldn't have been back up at that damn school. And I'm enough father to know if my 16-year-old get expelled, you ain't getting out the fucking house. Because I've been doing something wrong. You got expelled your job. I tell my daughter every day. She said, I don't have a job. I always laugh. I say, yes, you do. Your job is to go to that motherfucking school and come home with some grades that make your daddy smile. My job is to put food on the fucking table. Your job is to go get a damn education. That's your job.
You don't end up with your child.
Like, that's their job. That's your fucking job. Every day you get up, you go punch that damn clock. And the money you make is the money you make and the grades that you come home with. That's your money. That's your currency. My daughter understands that the grades she makes, the things she does in her electives, that's her currency to be able to get toys, gifts. That's your currency, bitch. And if you don't have no currency, you can't buy nothing.
Okay, but understand the difference here, though, Tommy. Beyond just that, that's her job. But understand, you're the supervisor, and you take that position very, very seriously. It's not just her. You tell her, ma'am, this is your job, and by the way, I'm your man. It's done. Your child does not miss 20 days of school with you not knowing unless you just don't give a damn. It's just that simple. Your child did not just grow up at 16 marching their lanky ass back up to a school talking about getting into a fight with someplace they've been expelled from, and they just woke up one day like that. You are a negligent-ass parent, didn't give a damn about them for the first 15 years, and they just got killed in year 16. But you set them up for that for the first decade and a half. Let's just keep it real.
And, Tommy, you said that lady was pregnant.
Oh, go ahead, man.
You said that lady was pregnant when she was just yelling and screaming and cussing.
They found out that the baby, here's the thing. The baby was 1 month old when her and her man got shot and killed. But they had been fucking with that man for a year. So that means from the time she actually got fertilized up until the pack when she delivered the zygote, time she delivered it, she was still belligerent. She didn't even give a crap that she had four other kids in the house and one on the way.
But look at these women that are raising our young daughters and sons now. Like, they're not even suitable to be mothers. Like, did you guys see the clip, of the Oakland parking lot fight?
Did you see the Oakland? The tax place. The tax place.
Over the tax money. And they were pregnant. You know, she was pregnant.
Which Oakland fight?
Exactly.
Which McDonald's fight?
Think about it this way, dear. People get mad at me as if I'm exposing something that white people have never seen when I'm using a white media to talk about it. So the white people put it. It's not like I went out with a camera and I saw this shit, and if I hadn't have filmed it, they wouldn't have knew. And like you said, that girl was fighting pregnant. And then they sent her there.
Fighting pregnant.
The girl in the New York train station, the Hispanic girl, Same crap. She talking about, and I'm 5 months pregnant, and if I lose my baby, I'm coming back for you. But you was fighting a grown-ass man.
Right.
I mean, but that's the situation here. You know, when Tommy, even with you and me and my mom, my dad, your mom and your dad, what's the first damn thing the doctor told him to get pregnant? I'm pretty sure one of the first things they told him was, don't get in no fist fight, by the way. Somebody might punch you in the, you in the stomach here. But today, I mean, seriously, this is what makes you and me so mad about this stuff, when you have some jackass sit up here with Oprah Winfrey or some moron sit up on 2020 or ABC Nightline with Steve Harvey and the rest of the jokers with some bullcrap cuff piece talking about why are most black women single? Why are most black women single? The young woman just said it. The reason that most of them are single is because of stuff like that. You ain't marriage material. You're not mother material. You think nothing of being pregnant and getting into a damn, not the Royal Rumble at McDonald's in the checkout lane. That's the reason that you're not married. The chick from Burma is sitting up here talking about, yeah, I grew up rapping your whole life. I ain't going to be like none of y'all. Yeah, that's the reason right there.
Don't you know most people that have an option don't want to be like black women? Even black women? If you have an option, you'd rather not hang around this group because you know it don't go right. Have you noticed you talk to most black women, they'll tell you, I'm not friends with a bunch of other black women because they catty, because they this, because they that. Women don't like
I'm learning that now, Tommy. I'm learning that now. Now I'm removing myself, and not that I'm like, you know, I'm cool off you. I'm not talking to you never again. But just I'm stepping away from all that.
Oh, I tell you,
young lady, yes, you are. Yes, you are cool with it.
Yeah, there's some shit I won't let people know about me. But there's some shit I won't let people know about me. If you watch how black women act, you let a black woman know, you know, I went to the clinic yesterday. I think I might have some. Next thing you know, if y'all get into an argument, what's she going to post about on Facebook? That's why I took your ass to the clinic when you thought you had something.
Right, right.
Do you notice how the young lady sounds like Ray Lewis now? Do you, Tommy, what you were saying before about Ray Lewis, said there were certain folks that when he realized after that incident, he's just got to have a clean break. And if y'all ain't trying to build nothing, if you're not, because I'm in situations where I'm building something, and if you're not in those situations, I got to step away.
That's
you know,
what
she
I'm
sounds
doing.
Just like Ray Lewis. She
that's
sounds
what
that's
doing.
Pretty much what Ray said. I can't fool with y'all because y'all aren't building something, so I just got to separate myself. I'm not building anything.
Well, you remember that's what I said, and I want you to elaborate on that, sister, and then I do have to bring some other more people in. But that's what I said. I said a long time ago, I cut myself off from brothers and everybody else because I said I have a goal. Like 5 years ago, and I knew what I was doing when I started my show 5 years ago. This is my goal, and I won't have a motherfucker involved in it that don't have what I have to lose. And I remember my mother was trying to tell me, well, you should let your brothers get out of the fuck. I'm just going to let them come in now. Fuck them. They got a life of their own. They grown-ass men. Their job is to do what grown men do. Take care of yourself. Because if you come in right now, you know the one thing they still don't have invested that I have? Time and money. They would get something from it, but if it goes down, what would they do? Go back to what they were doing before now, won't they?
Yeah.
Now, you can't go back to the NFL. You messed that up.
Right.
You can't go back. Now, this nigga can go back to working the AutoZone. He can go
that's
back
right.
to working
right.
over there at McGriff's. You can't do that. He's going to mess you out of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. These heifers getting pregnant and whatnot, you can't. You can only become a single. You can only be a non-single mother once, even if you do the Susan Smith thing. I mean, you really can't go back to your pre-single mother. You simply can't. When them children come up missing, everybody's going to be looking at you. Just forget it. It's over. You can only be a pre-single mother, a single non-single mother once. You can't do it twice. They'll be to mess you up with some nonsense, and you'll spend the next 30 years talking about, boy, I wish I hadn't. Because they all do the same thing. I love my children, but I wish I'd have waited. Well, hell.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, that's the one thing we need to start teaching these kids. My thing is, I tell my daughter every day, if I had my rathers, I would have rather not had you right now. I love you to death, but I would have rather not had you in this situation. And I tell her, and you better understand, it's not a cute thing. Me being a father, it's a job. It's not a cute thing. I want you to understand, yes, we love you to death, but you better understand that this is not a cute thing because we got all these toys and shit that we give these little girls to make them think being a parent is cute. What's stopping
no,
a little girl
book.
From Yeah. What's stopping a little girl from wanting to have a baby when all we do in the black community is exalt a woman as soon as she get a baby? We don't exalt virgins. We exalt whores. We don't exalt purity in a woman. We exalt nastiness in a woman. We don't put on the cover a chick that looked like she'd taken care of her kids. We put the chick with kids that's shaking her booty. If we had any kind of morals, we would not allow the woman who we know got kids to be the booty model. We wouldn't. Ma'am, I'm sorry. I can't give you no money because this doesn't make any sense. You need to go home and do something different. You should have been shaking your ass when you didn't have no kids. I love fucking a chick that shake her ass with no kids. It's hard for me to fuck a chick that shake her ass with kids. It's difficult. Seriously,
but even more than that, Tommy, we don't exalt the females who have goals. Venus and Serena Williams started learning how to play tennis when they were in their preteens. We don't sit up here and exalt our children who have a goal in life. Even if they were, it'd be one thing if they were slutty and twerking and finding the cure for cancer. We could overlook that. That's not what's going on, though. They don't have
that's
any
what I'm saying.
Goal
that's why they come up with the same lie, though. But, Jason, that's why they have the same lie. I'm in school. Every bitch that suck a dick is in school. I'm like, damn, is there a class at school of sucking dick? Because you do a lot of both. You're in
school, and
you're in school, but I see you sucking more dick than walking with books.
And that girl you talked to was a perpetual student. She's just an eternal student. She didn't change majors, and off we go again. She's never going to graduate. She's just, well, I'm student.
She ain't even in no damn real school. Yeah, she ain't even in no damn real school. You see how she openly stood up there and said that she had been in school once and cut out. Then she tried to shame me and tell me it don't matter what school you go to. It should be looked at as the same fucking goal at the end. No, the fuck it isn't. It ain't same plan in the NBA as it is playing overseas. It just isn't.
Dude, you can sign up for the University of Phoenix at the kiosk at Mall St. Vincent here in Shreveport. Get out of here.
But we need to do that as blacks. We can't keep telling people that what they do is the same as what somebody else does. Why am I getting feedback? Let me bring in my man RC because I got to hear from RC. I got to hear from him. I didn't get to hear from him last show. What up, brother?
Hey, what's up, Tommy? What's going on?
Not much, brother. Okay, you like me as... We are brothers that took control and decided we wanted to raise our own kids, and we wanted to be there for them regardless of if we're still with the mother or not. What are your thoughts on the importance of a father and how you believe? Do you believe that I have a point when I say a lot of the violence that's coming out here is based upon the fact that these boys are being raised by women?
Oh, no doubt. And I like what you said earlier. You said you got a daughter, and that's not what you wanted. Just like I wind up with twins and a son, you know, by ourselves, and we got to raise them to the best of our ability, you know, and I didn't want that, you know what I'm saying? Because you're really taking away from a whole family situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's better mother and father in the household, okay? We all know what females are capable, what they do, and like the young lady said, they nag, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, that's the way it is and the story, you know. But the thing that gets me upset is that, like you said, Tommy, they don't give us kudos for doing the job alone.
Yep.
All they do is criticize. All they do is turn around and say shit like, well, you should let your mama. My mother was a fucking moron. What justice would I have done my twins and my son by letting my fucking crazy mother raise him? You know what I'm saying?
When my mother said that to me, that shocked the crap out of me. I was like, you don't even know my daughter's mother, but you want to tell me my daughter deserves to be with her mother and not me? What the fuck kind of logic is that?
Because you figure, the job I did, right? 24 to twins, okay? Bachelor's degrees, no kids. My son, okay, he's 26. He's getting a salary now of $72,000, okay? They're supposed to be making better money than us. They're supposed to be more educated than us.
Yep.
And that's our fucking job. You know what I'm saying? That recycle shit didn't work with me. I'm like, nah, you guys got to be better than me. And when I say this to them, they turn around and say, oh, but dad, you know, you like one of the best dads, you know, a man could, you know, a kid could have. I said, that's not the point. The point is you're supposed to be better than me. You know what I'm saying? So you can strive. Yes.
Can I say something to also, gentlemen, that I know for a fact that the father gives you confidence. Growing up, my dad always said, baby, it's okay. you're going to make it. I didn't pass my first driver's test, right? I didn't pass it the second time. Third time he came with me, he's like, I believe in you. Don't worry. You're going to pass. I passed it. My dad has never, ever doubted me. He never said anything bad. My mom always talked crap. Oh, you need to do this. But my father gave me confidence, told me I was beautiful. You're going to make it. Don't worry. Don't ever take anything from a man, baby, because they're always going to want something back from you. You know, so I think it's very important for females to have a father, because the father gives you confidence. And that's how I had my confidence, was for my dad.
Yeah, because it's
showing for that is
by telling your kid that, oh, you failed a test the third term. Well, you know what? You just ain't cut out for that shit. You must be stupid or dumb. You know, forget it. Move on.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Even
beyond just that right there, though, I mean, as I was saying before, your father, once you reach the age like she is, father's going to reason. And he's going to not just, if you failed the test twice, he's going to say, hey, let's take a look at why you failed the test.
Right.
He's not going to try to feel his way through it. He's not going to pat you on the back or start wagging his finger at you and try to feel his way through it or emotion his way through it. He's going to sit down and say, okay, we need to determine why is it you're failing so that we can fix it.
Right.
Your mother may be well-intended, but mom's just saying, well, you're not trying hard enough. Well, that's not an answer. That's a critique. That's not
right.
an answer. We need answers, and that's what a father is there for. Is supposed to do, because that's what we specialize in. We're going to help you, and we're going to pat you on the hand, but we are going to come up with an executable plan, because at this point, I need a plan. Okay, forget the finger wagging. I need answers.
Well, like you said,
and
Jason, you know, common sense take you a long way. Well, did you study for this test? No, Dad, you know, I didn't even look at the book, you know what I'm saying? So that's the reason why you fail, because
right.
you didn't even look at what they was going to throw at you. So really, technically, you went in there blind, thinking, you know, I mean, you're intelligent, but you never did this before. That's
and as a father, we can
manage.
Do that. That's I love when you said that, because as a father, I said it earlier. I said we're honest, and I love what she said, and she said we give them confidence. We give you the ability not to be able to walk around in motherfucking never land. A man won't allow his kids to walk around with and think something that they're not. Hell, a man will tell our daughter quicker that it'll be more difficult for you to be a model, baby, because you're only 5'2".
Well, my dad now says, my dad tells me to exercise. He's a baby. He tells me still, I don't want to have no fat daughters. You better make sure you exercise and eat right. That's what
I
my dad
that
says.
My little girl.
She's not going to get along with her black female friends now.
And
that's
not
what my dad
that.
Said. My dad was like, because my dad, actually, he said, you need to eat right. He said, I don't want to have any fat daughters. I have two beautiful daughters. You better exercise, eat right. And he said, ain't no man going to marry you if you fat. I mean, that's what
I'm
saying
right now. When a woman tried to tell me, oh you know, I'm going to worry about my, I'm like, worry about your weight. Look, let me tell you something. If I date you and marry you, it's because of the way you look and the way you act right now. And I always
right
tell
now.
Women, it's kind of fucked up. That you, if I was a man and I used to work and shit all the time and used to bring you flowers all the time, and 5 years later I just quit my job, became the Madden King, sat on the couch and never brought you shit, you'd tell the divorce lawyer, I'm
right.
leaving him because he changed. Yet your
right.
motherfucking ass went from 120 pounds to 220, and you want to tell me I'm shallow for wanting to leave.
Tell your dad that you're not fat, you're thick. Tell your
right.
dad I'm not fat. I'm not fat, I'm thick.
And you know, I've had black females hate on me because I do have ass. So that's why I guess I attract black men. And, you know, black men always, you know, when I used to date, they used to kind of, you know, when I got a little more thicker, oh, no, girl, you good, you thick. No. But my dude now, I mean, he's so cut, he's so fit. He said, JR, he's like, baby, you look good, but you need to get tight. Like, he doesn't beat around the bush, but I've had men in my life. No, you good, you thick.
Dear, let me tell you why.
No.
Because we don't want to build a future with you. We just want to fuck you that day.
Exactly.
That's why most
exactly.
black men aren't as honest as me. That's why when I speak to a black woman, it throws her off. Because I'm like, yeah, I would love to fuck you. I'd love to get some head from you. But you do have a couple stomachs right there, dear. Now, I'll
right.
fuck anybody, but you got a couple stomachs. And it shock them. Because I'm like, I want you to understand the truth. You should know it. A black man will fuck anybody. It is not difficult
right.
for us to lay down with a motherfucker. A white man will do it. Any man will
exactly.
fuck anybody. Well, I've seen videos of white men fucking horses.
Today we were having a conversation about, you know, thick versus fat, and one guy made a very good comment where he said that black men's considerations about what is overweight has evolved along with the ever-expanding waistline of the females. So as the females have gotten fatter, our considerations and our standards have evolved along with that. Now, the guy that she's talking about, well, he's cut and he's in good shape and whatnot, but for some strange reason here, I'm skeptical that that is your prime motivation for taking into consideration the way you do what he says about your appearance. Because if the average black man said that to the female, it would be an Evelyn Lozado moment. So if this
no.
guy said this to you like that, I'm wondering what else is he bringing to the table that made you take his opinion into consideration like that? Because it obviously isn't just because you've got six-pack abs. What else does he have that made you consider it that way?
I think he just how honest he was. And when he said it to me, like, I wasn't even upset because he was being so, like, he was being honest with me. Like, he does have a lot of, and we've been dating for a year now. He's just, he's a hard worker. He doesn't have any kids. He's just honest. He's just a good black man. And he's very articulate. He's educated. So, I mean, I'm not fat, but I'm just saying, like, he motivates me even more because he's so much in shape.
Well, I have a fear of a woman getting fat. I'm going to tell you up front, I have a huge fear of a woman getting fat, and I don't mind expressing it, probably because I'm an old, crotchety man.
And that's what he's afraid of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I need to let a bitch know up front, if this happens, just in case you feel like you want to get lazy, and I don't give a fuck if you're 50 years old when I get with you, you better have it in you to work out for the next 20 years. Don't sit up there and rest on your laurels and say, well, because my thing is, I don't want somebody else having to enjoy something that I didn't get to. And I hate an older woman always telling me how fine she used to be. Well, now I'm going to want to go date your daughter or somebody that looks younger than you. Because that's what I love about J-Lo. J-Lo ain't got to tell her, man, I used to be fine. Motherfucker, I'm fine now.
Right.
I mean, in the black community, and I use the term community advisedly, but in black society, when you've got 80% of your women who are overweight and 40% of your women who are not just overweight but obese, and by the time they're in their 20s, I mean, we're at a situation right now where the good old days for most black females, their best days were in their teens.
Yeah, but
I mean,
those are your mothers too. So those are people that are telling you what the standards are. So your mothers are all fat. Your mothers are all chunky, and they're telling you, because you got to understand, I mean, you got to look at Mexican men. I don't see how they fuck Mexican women. I'm just going to be honest. Them Mexican women got bad shapes. But if their mama had bad shapes like that, that's what they go after. Now, but you have to pay attention to a lot of this. When these men, like, you remember how shocked that girl was to hear me tell her about her stretch marks and all this crap? She had never heard nobody say this. And I'm like, girl, every man that
she
sees
didn't
you
understand
see this.
Your question.
Yeah, like, she didn't understand the fact that I was able to just openly say, I see your stretch marks, that ain't cute. You too young to have a body like that. She is.
Mm-hmm.
She's too young.
She had never heard anybody that, because let's just be honest about it, man. Let's just lay it on the line. Black society is an amalgamation of dusty niggas and raggedy bros.
Yep.
And we do not have a bunch of black men who have any real high standards. We got mostly dusty niggas who sit up here and just loaf and drift from one place to another. The quality of the female does not matter because, I mean, let's just be honest, the guys don't think they bout very much, so his standard of the female is not very much. You just get in where you fit in. Everybody is getting in where they fit in. The young woman on the phone right here, now look what she's saying. She's letting you know, whether she said it or not, because even she doesn't get it, but in her situation, in her upbringing, what has happened is she has had standards inflicted upon her. She didn't choose them. These standards were imposed on her. But guess what? The programming is taken, and now when the men approach her, the men know they got to come a certain way. Pants sagging and hood is not going to get it. And the type of man that she's attracted, he has standards. Now, what if we learn the list? What's the moral of the story, boys and girls? When your man has no standards for you, he's going to insist that you have no standards for him. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Now you're going to be on YouTube complaining about my baby daddy. They don't do nothing.
He's
never done anything. Well, you never insisted on that from the beginning. Now, isn't this a damn shame? This is a damn shame that the Burmese chick in California is saying, I have no problem getting a good black man. And all the black women are in California whining and pitching and moaning and complaining. This is a damn disgrace.
Well, how about this? Why don't you look at Lil Wayne? While the black chicks he was with had a problem with how he wasn't doing blah, blah, blah. But now he with the white chick, and the white chick got the motherfucker skating and talking like he got some sense when he get in front of people. How'd this happen? Because they ask you for some type of standard. If you were a black chick, she still allows you to be hood and ghetto and get more tattoos on your neck. You can get the finest black chick and still walk around looking like a dumbass, talking like a dumbass, hanging in the streets, being in the wrong clubs, you can still do that. Them same brothers, as soon as they get a white girl, they cut that crap out. Why is that?
Because in reality, brother, we want better. Because a man is about building. Building is in a man's DNA. And what you do not understand is that at some point that DNA is going to exert itself, that when they say, well, he got himself an upgrade. You damn right he got an upgrade. I'm not going to be driving my 94 Crown Vic forever. At some point, somebody's going to bring a Maserati through this son of a gun, and I'm jumping in it. And that's just the bottom damn line. And that's what a man is supposed to do. He's supposed to build. And when you got female encouraging your men that you can't build anything, you can't improve anything, you can't make better anything, well, that's a damn formula for perpetual ghetto. That's what that is.
And think about it this way. I want y'all to, because people didn't get what I was saying, or they got mad and told me I didn't mean. I'll still say it. A woman doesn't define a man. A woman refines a man.
A man rises to the level that he thinks that a woman needs.
If you're a woman and you come up short somewhere, that man will kick in. And it's the same thing with a woman. I've seen women, and you talked about the white women like that. Black women don't understand how psychotic white women can be. But whatever black women think they can do, white women can do 99 times worse. Just look at Snapped. It ain't a bunch of black women that snapped. It's a bunch of white women that snapped. And them white women are cold-blooded. I'm watching this white woman on TV right now. That bitch stabbed this motherfucking white boy and took pictures while doing it. Cut him from neck to from ear to ear, then shot him in the head and took pictures of it while doing it. And this is the finest white bitch ever. I'm looking at her, I'll be like, I would date her now if they put on parole. She is beautiful.
That's what you call
that
rage.
White bitch
Remember
is a killer.
Talking about the rage? That's rage.
That's what I'm saying. So whenever black folks think that they so tough, Jason said it. White women just don't want to get their hands dirty. But if you fuck with one of them and they have to do you something,
forget
they
it.
They will fuck your world up. That old white woman in California that was killing them homeless people and burying them in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
The monster, that Charlize Theron movie. Mm-hmm.
No. That woman, too. That bitch was just shooting men because she had a bad childhood. So she was fucking them and killing them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you ain't got no black women that's got them kind of balls that them white women got. You can't find no black women that's got that kind of balls. Name one.
Hey, Tommy.
Oh,
what
please.
About
them,
that
heifers, them heifers are sending their children off to go shoot up the damn bus and it's on YouTube the very next day.
Go ahead, RC, and then I'm going to bring in some more people. Go ahead, RC.
Well, what about that white chick that poisoned her husband who used to go to the gym and she goes, hey, I'm going to fix up your power drink here in a minute. Don't worry about it. And was putting lotion in this shit for like 8 fucking months and was wondering why this motherfucker don't die and was smiling the whole time.
Here you think about the Turner guy here in Atlanta. The one guy, he was a fireman. He died. Found out she put that ethylene glycol in his motherfucking Gatorade. They found out this bitch had done that to two other husbands when she got on trial. Say whatever you want. These white women, for black women to think that the difference between a white woman and a black woman is a white woman know how to look pretty while fucking you up. She don't have to be loud. She's a woman, a W-O-M-A-N. She can bring home the bacon, fry that bitch in a pan, but still never let you know that you, or never let you forget you a motherfucking man because she's a woman. And y'all just bitches.
And take the kids to soccer practice.
Right. You remember that white bitch that took them kids to soccer practice? They kept talking shit. She got home and shot them in the face.
Oh, my God.
Y'all ain't really them white girls. You are not black women. So when y'all think just because y'all can yell and pull up they naturally flowing hair that make you feel good, this white bitch can go home and get the whole clan to blow up your whole neighborhood.
Hey, Tommy, it doesn't even have to get that far along. If you take a look at the rate of black women who are out of shape, it could come down to a fist fight. White girl's going to win that. She's in better shape than you are, period. How many black females could actually run for the police right now if they needed to?
Well, how many can run down the white girl? The white girl can slap you and start running. You would never hit her back. White girl running around your neighborhood sounding like Nelson talking about,
You'll be sitting there gasping for air. When I catch you, I'm going to whoop your ass.
You know, let me bring in my girl, Miss Rosa. Miss Rosa, what's going on?
Hello, Honey Biscuit.
Hey, how you doing with your little soft voice? You make me feel like a pedophile.
Make me lose my voice. I said, I can't even talk. Oh,
what you
God.
Losing your voice for? What you doing?
I was here just listening, dozing off. I said, look, you better hurry
You got
up.
Her up past her bedtime.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot old people go to sleep. Old people need a couple of naps.
Honey, I may be old, but I look good to be 47.
Oh, I ain't mad at you. Give me
all natural.
Good shape.
All natural. That's right.
What's your number? What's your number?
You know what
no,
that?
No. No.
She's married. That's my cousin, y'all. That's my cousin.
I tell people marriage ain't permanent.
Honey, this
I heard that, Tommy.
Marriage ain't permanent. That shit can be erased with a pen, a swipe of a pen.
Sign here.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
I'm tripping.
Yeah, too funny.
Marriage is permanent. A nigga had to come off some crops and shit before he got divorced. Damn, I gotta come off a lot of shit. I'm just gonna stay with this bitch.
She's married in California, not Georgia.
Oh.
No, you're right. You get married in California, that's when you got a Scott Peterson a bitch. But
I had a question.
Go ahead.
Now when I was back home in Indiana. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. And my mother, they're going to remove the tube today, so she officially will be passed away today. So I was with my girlfriend, which is black, my best friend, and I was watching your video. So I took, I had to take my laptop with me. And she was listening to you until you start talking about black women. So my question is to you, because she wanted to know, I was going to do a video, but I said no. I said, leave it alone. So hopefully one day I get to talk to you.
Who is that in the, hold on, who's in the background doing all that shucking and jiving?
Who is that making the noise?
Let me put all the people on hold. I'm doing a bad job. I try to leave everybody open, but let me put everybody on hold so you can talk. Go ahead.
Okay. So she wanted to, she was offended by what you said. And I said, I don't believe, I would just, speaking on top of my head, I said, I don't believe that he means all black women. So she's probably going to be listening. So she wants to know, do you feel that way about all black women?
I can't feel that way about all black women. I don't know all black women. I'm talking about the majority of crabness and bullshit and craziness that's going on. I can only talk about what I want black women to realize is when I'm saying it, stop acting like I made this crap up. They make movies saying that you have that attitude. They make commercials saying you have that attitude. The world sees that you have this attitude. But the only difference is black women are so used to not hearing a black man speak his mind, they'll listen to a white man say that black women are belligerent. And they'll go out of their way to try to change his opinion of them. But me, they'll just say, your mama black. Now think about that. Their only solace, their only virtue is not what they've done, but the fact that my mama could possibly look like them. They've never met my mother. They don't know if my mother was a killer. They don't know what my mother is. And then in the process of saying it, they'll say things like, as black as he is, how that. So where? Oh. So you want to speak about my skin color versus the problem, and you wonder why I don't like you? Because I've never heard a white girl say anything. As much as I fuck white girls, they've got mad at me, and never one of them have ever called me a nigger or blackie or any of that crap. So why would I have to sit and hear this from your own quote-unquote women who don't even have enough common sense to lose their belligerence? So whenever you think, does he hate all black women? The next question should be, does he know you? Are you fucking him? Do you plan on fucking him? So if he woke up today and said, I can't stand black women and don't want to date black women, Because have you noticed, and I want to point something out to you, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Miss Rosa.
Okay.
If a white man says, oh, I'm not interested in white girls, I only love chocolate. Does anybody get mad? Do black women say, you're racist, your mama white?
Or well, do they you say, know what? I want to say this. My other best friend's a male. He's white, and that's all he dates was. And I'm telling you, it's been over 12 years we've been friends since I left Indiana, and I yet to see this man happy. I try to talk to him and tell him how women, just women in general, okay, can be, and the type of women that he picks. And he's been dogged out, and I don't know, maybe somebody can help me out as far as the men's perspective, how certain black women treat white men like that. I mean, he just, it's like a magnet. That's all he picks. And I told him, you know, maybe you need to just, you know, date out, you know, out of the black race. And please, what I'm saying, so please, people, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Because that's what he's used to. Maybe he needs to see other people because he just, that's all he wants to date. But then he's been mistreated, and then he complained. I said, well, don't complain. You know, it could be Filipino.
Well, I think that's the biggest problem, though. We live in a nation and a culture full of complainers. We have people that just want to complain. I tell people, like when a woman asks me, oh, I know you've had a bad time with black women, I say, actually, no. Actually, most of the black women I've dated have been pretty good. I think shit happens. Like, I used to believe women didn't do shit. Women fuck you and leave you just as much as men fuck them and leave them. They do. I've had girls, when I sit up there, and the only difference is they do it sweeter. Like, the mixed chicks I fuck, most of them just like black dick. Like, they'll call around, let me call, what you doing? I'll fuck shit out of them for a month. Then they'll go off and get with an NBA player or whoever else they want to be with. And they'll go away for 6 months, and then they'll pretend, oh, I had a lot of shit going on in my life, you know. But they won't do it in a crass way, but they just want a dick. When you get them dark-skinned ones, they'll pretend they didn't just want dick. They'll play you and fuck you and five other niggas that you know. Then they'll be rude about it when you find out and post the shit on Facebook. Who do you see doing the most telling on their baby daddies and shit online? What color are they usually? That's always just out with their business online. That you wasn't saying that when you was eating my pussy last night. Who you see doing that? So those are the ones that bother me that I want to talk about. But then they get mad and say, well, you hate all black women. Where's the hate? Find the fault in what I'm saying first. Find the lie in what I'm saying. Why try to shame me and say, oh, you hate all black women? But was he lying?
Well, I want to say that On my YouTube channel, if the people that come and subscribe to me and what I try to teach people how to, you know, take care of their bodies and do things naturally and all kinds of stuff, you know, give them recipes and things that they can make and things. I mean, I got tons of stuff, and I know I'm behind you guys, so bear with me. But what I don't like is that I know there's this one individual, I'm not going to say her name or her YouTube channel. I'm sure she listens to you because she listens to everybody else's. When you tell somebody your comments are no longer welcome, and it just keep on, they talk about you, they call you sellout, you a wannabe, and I'm like, sellout? Sellout to what? And they copy you, and this woman had the audacity to talk about me because I'm thin, but yet she claims to be a 3-year vegetarian. But, yeah, she's big as a house, but then she want to blame it on steroids. And I'm like, okay, the whole household is big, so how are you going to talk about me? And then she leaves messages. You know, I have to block her out. And yes,
well, that's
black.
What I mean. When you hear black women talk about other black women and their stalkish behavior, they should never question what I'm saying. But I'm saying they should never question what I'm saying. So when your friend said he must hate out, you should have, and that's the problem. If you had just stood up and told her, no, you and I both see black women that act the way he's talking about every day. So even if he's talking about every black woman, why would you try to sit and justify your disdain by saying it's not all? If you make that argument, you can kill every argument because the only thing that's all is death. Everybody dies. That's the only thing that's all. There's some other shit that might not happen. There was a time where the sun didn't rise and didn't set on the faces on the face of the earth. There will be a time when that happens again. But the only thing that we know that's all is death. There's nothing that's been immortal. Not one thing. So for people to make that as an argument, you can argue anything with it's not all. Hell, a woman can tell me, oh, the black men been in my life has been bad. I will just come back and say, not all.
Well, they say there's two things that's guaranteed, taxes and death.
Even taxes ain't guaranteed. Ask Mitt Romney.
Oh, no. Should I say paying taxes?
That's what I'm saying. Mitt Romney.
Well, some people pay taxes anyway.
That's right. So it ain't guaranteed.
That's another story, but, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. So my whole thing is, and I'm going to let these people come in. I'm gonna let them come in. I'm going to let Kwesi come in. Kwesi, what are your thoughts? You're still in, Rosa, but I'm going to let Kwesi come in because I know I got 30 minutes. I'm going to try to let everybody come in and at least say something. Kwesi, what are your thoughts on the show? What do you want to bring to the show?
I enjoyed the show so far. And, man, sometimes you cannot be truthful with these women. You tell a black chick that she's fat, she's gonna automatically think that it's disrespectful to her and all that stuff, man. It's
you tell
crazy.
Her she's fat, she gonna tell you gay. One is the truth, one is an innuendo, but she gonna stick with it.
Yeah, man. I'm like, you need to go be with a skinny chick if you think I'm fat and all that stuff. Like, come on, man. I'm just telling you the damn truth and stuff, but they don't wanna acknowledge that.
I just don't understand why the truth bothers people all the time. A woman can tell a man, I'm tired of you not having a job, and he don't sit up there and say, you hurt my feelings.
Like,
nigga, he ain't got no job.
One thing
he ain't got no job. As a matter of fact, we know it's coming. We know when we ain't working for a long enough time, we be like, oh, shit, this bitch going to say something about this one day.
They're going to throw me out.
Yes. I'd be concerned at a motherfucker when a check don't come. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
that shit is not going to bode well for you. But we know this. Pull out a little dick. Hell, we know if we fuck and we come fast, we start getting concerned. Oh, she ain't going to give you no more pussy.
And sometimes I don't like hanging around black men because all they do is talk about how much pussy you got. Yo, if you don't get no damn pussy, you ain't freaking cool and shit like that. So I did some stupid shit just to try to impress them and stuff like that because they've been telling me my whole life, if you don't get no pussy, you ain't cool and all that stuff, you gay and all that crap. And I started learning this by watching his stuff, and I also started learning this stuff while going on as I got older, and I see some of the stuff that I was doing in the past was kind of stupid.
Let me tell you something, Quest. There's a woman who's watching the show right now, and she just sent me a message, and she said, you're seeking perfection in a woman's body. And it just made me realize that that's all black women do. It's like Rosa's friend said, he's talking about all. You can never get a black woman to talk to you in a common sense. They will always use this outlandish thing that you never said. The stripper who was talking on the show with me last time, she kept saying the same crap. If you notice, if you listen to that word, well, you're saying all. And I was like, tell me when I said all. Tell me when I said all. What is one of the, you're seeking perfection. So I'm seeking perfection when all I'm saying is I like a woman to be in shape. You didn't hear that. You heard perfection. Just like when you talk to black women about religion. What's the first thing they say when you find out they were sucking a dick at church? Nobody's perfect. Bitch, I didn't say nothing about perfection. I talked about just sucking dick.
Exactly, yo. That's crazy. That's
you make up words to argue against your own words. Who heard me that was on the show said that I need a chick to be perfect? And what the fuck does perfect mean anyway? What's a perfect shape?
Exactly. And like that video that I was I finished watching a video when that chick was with her planning to give her baby father some HIV and stuff. I posted that video.
You see they flagged that video down?
Oh man, I posted it on my page. Yo, black women came up on my page getting mad and started cursing me out and all that stuff on my damn page. And I asked black women, do you agree with this woman's actions? of giving her baby father all because he won't pay child support, HIV.
That's sad.
Do you know they are more mad at what I say about a situation than what actually happened? Like you said, are you mad at what this nigga said about what he saw or what that woman did?
Exactly.
I'm talking about a bitch done killed her kids, and all they came to my page to talk about was, you hate black women.
All because I'm listening to you, like most of the females in my family mad at me and stuff like that, saying that I hate black women and all that stuff. Shoot.
Black women hate themselves. If they didn't, they wouldn't walk around with them hair hats on all damn day.
Exactly. I put on Facebook, I like black women. I think black women look better with their real hair. They all got bad.
It's the stupidest thing. You get mad because I tell you, you look better natural.
Exactly, man. Like, how is that possible? I say, black women, you look stupid with the blonde weaves and stuff on.
That's like a woman telling me, I like fucking you when you ain't on Viagra, and I just keep taking it anyway because I want it.
Oh, man. And then I watched one of the advice show videos, and that dude is copying you. That dude is a copycat or a fraud, man.
Yeah, he makes me laugh. I want you to stay there, Quasi. He just makes me laugh. Let me bring in Jay from the 919. Isn't that North Carolina?
Yeah, that's North Carolina.
Oh, I've been around the world, and what's on your mind, Jay?
Ain't shit, man. I just wanted to hit you up and tell you I enjoy your show, and I appreciate what you do, bro. And, you know, y'all was talking about the single families and whatnot. You know, so I really can't speak too much of that because I grew up with both parents in the house. You know what I'm saying? But,
can you see how you were raised different than your friends? Can you see that there was a difference in how you were raised over them?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I see that my father had a big influence on my life, and he pointed me in a direction to do a lot of positive things. Like, for instance, you know, when I was younger, I know about, like, in the 90s when the J's came out, the Jordans were like $150, and I wanted a pair, you know what I'm saying? And he told me, nah, I'm not buying that shit for you, you know what I'm saying? If you want that, you go out and work for it. So ever since I was 12, I had a job, and everything I wanted, I had to work for. And, you know what I'm saying, I grew up thinking my dad was an asshole and never wanted to buy me nothing. And by the time I reached 26 and bought my own home, you know what I'm saying, I finally realized that he was a little bit harder on me because he wanted me to go out and achieve things for myself. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm 30 now, and I look at all my friends, and most of them, they have children and dealing with baby mama issues and all this other drama, and you know what I'm saying, I don't have that type of thing in my life. So I definitely see the difference in that type of upbringing. Not saying that you can't be successful from a single parent household, but it's a lot easier when you have both parents, and then you have that guidance from a mother and a father to give you two different views upon life.
Kudos to the young man. Kudos.
Yeah. Go ahead, whoever got a question, then I'll bring in some more people because I'm down to 25 minutes.
Okay, this is for my cousin, Londa. Londa, have you, even though we're going to be reunited, I'm going to New York to see my cousin. I haven't seen her in 39 years, unfortunately. I'm sure she gave you the little bit info about our family. But anyway, have you had any problems with, I don't know, African-American? What are we supposed to say, African-American or...
Yeah, I just call them black people.
Well, somebody told me, no, we're not black. We are African-American. I said, okay.
They ain't no African-Americans. They need to cut that crap out. First off, it's because blacks aren't even giving themselves credit. We were in the fucking, we were over in the United States before they brought slaves over here. We were here. We let the white man take away our damn history and make us just feel like we just, everywhere we got there as slaves.
Yep, worried about that.
But did you have any problems growing up? Because I know I did. And that's until when I, you know, was in high school. I experienced a lot of negativity, called all kinds of names. And I didn't understand because when we grew up, all we had was Spanish people and white people in our family, Caucasian, should I just use that terminology anyway. And when they saw me, I didn't even know what Redbone was until my husband told me what that was. I was called all kinds of names, sellout, you have hair like us, and I didn't understand. And so that kind of brainwashed me, and I wanted to, that's how, you know, my mother put the perm in my hair. I guess she didn't like my hair either. I don't know. But I learned to embrace my natural hair. Honey, I love my hair. So anybody out there, go natural. You don't need to put all this stuff in your head because it will come out eventually. It will. All them wigs and all that stuff, it will suffocate your hair, and you will lose your hair.
I have a close friend, and it's funny because her hair is, you know, she's, ever since I've known her, she's always worn a weave. And she actually has long hair underneath her weave, all braided up. And I asked her, so why don't you ever just wear your own hair? And it's because her own hair wouldn't look as quote-unquote nice as the weave does, as the Malaysian hair or Indian hair, whatever it is, that Remy hair that she buys or whatever. And it's sad, and, you know, like Rosie and I, and this is the whole thing that I've been doing on YouTube with this whole self-renewal thing, is we've been, like, digging into our family and trying to understand why did they do a lot of the things that they did. And that's what Rosie, I think, was trying to ask me, was, like, you know, my mother, like I was telling Tommy earlier, you know, she had brainwashed me to the point where, you know, the black man was like the enemy. Like, I wouldn't dare even have a black boyfriend or even see a black guy. And when I did have my kids from their Irish father, you know, she was very happy with that, you know. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter what he was as a person or whatever. It was just his race that mattered, because I was going to have light-skinned children with good hair. You know, and she herself has such a complex.
Well, that's interesting. I'm the opposite. Our grandmother used to say, no. Don't bring no black man with mallow hair.
I didn't understand that.
I was like, what is this? And so I remember my mother, she didn't like to do my hair, and my sisters would pull my hair. And that's the first time I can see now. I was 8 years old, and I heard that word, N-word. I don't like the word, but anyway. I was called that. I was like, where did they get that? And so that deterred me from dating white men. Not because I don't like white people. My father's white, okay, and my mother's Panamanian. But then I look more on my mother's side. But that's questionable now, you see. So it's crazy. And I learned to teach my children to love themselves. And my children, you know, they know who their dad is. Unfortunately, a lot of people out there, they're lying and they're not telling who the parents are, especially the father. And
I'm telling you, this is where a lot of crazy is coming from in the black community too, because a lot of us are fucking our relatives. Say whatever you want. A lot of us are fucking our relatives and don't know it. Because mama, and I said it earlier, y'all, that's the problem with having single parents. You got these mothers that's lying. Mothers are liars. They will lie naturally. There's a reason why it was Eve that got Adam kicked out of the motherfucking Garden of Eden. It's a reason why Samson got his hair cut off by a bitch. It's a reason why J.O. put the spike in the head of the soul. Come on now, people. There's a reason why this happened. Women are natural liars. That's what they do. That's why they got to tell their dumb ass kids that they ain't dumb.
Well,
oh, man, it's
Jesus
hard for
said,
us to tell
marry.
Our dumb-ass kids that they ain't stupid. We know we got stupid-ass kids. Woman will sit up there and tell their ugly daughter that she pretty like everybody else. No, the fuck that baby ain't.
True.
And you did that video. You did that one video where it was The View with Miss Sherry, when she said, I had many abortions. It's like she was, I don't know, she was, like, proud. Like, it was okay.
Because as a black woman, you can say anything. A black woman can come out right now and say, I suck 98 dicks. I'm still a queen. And they'll start clapping. They will clap because we, as a black culture, that's why everybody else, when they gets rejected by their culture, they want to be black. That's why it offended me when I sit up there and I listen to Fat Joe sing music, talking about nigga this, nigga that, and then somebody said, are you black? And he said, no.
Yeah.
So he don't want to be associated with black. And it's just like you, Rosa, no offense. But y'all don't want to be associated as black. But y'all know whenever people stop fucking with y'all, y'all can come get a black dick easy.
Exactly.
Y'all don't have no problem getting a black dick. Let's call it what it is. Do either one of y'all would have any problem getting a black man to want to fuck you?
Well, my husband's black, so
I'm just asking. Like, when you online, do niggas be trying to get at you?
All the time.
But that's all I'm saying. Black dick is easy to get. So what other people do is like how Halle Berry, she took black dick because that was all she could get until she could get a white one. Same thing with all of them. Same thing with my guest. My guest was a nice chick, but when she could get her a white dick, she got it. we are the fucking what do you call that shit? The consolation dick. Black dick is a consolation dick, even to black women. Because if you notice, if that was not the case, they wouldn't be so happy with the TV show Scandal. They wouldn't be so happy with every TV show where a black woman ends up with a white man. They think that's the cutest shit. Black women don't even fuck black men because they want to fuck us. They fuck us because they have to. That's why they try to shame us into not going anywhere. Because they want to make sure that when they go through trying to fuck everybody else, that they can come back to us and we don't go nowhere.
Basically,
they can tell us that they mama black, but you never hear nobody say to a black woman that's sucking a white dick, your daddy black. That black chick on YouTube got a white husband and a mixed baby and running around YouTube talking about something. He talking about black women. Hold on, bitch. You should be the last person to have a problem because you got a white man. But she can still be pro-black. Let a black man with a white wife try to be pro-black. Look at how y'all clown Clarence Thomas. And he's never done nothing against black folks. Every time a black man gets a white wife, you clown him.
Look how they clown Montel Williams.
Yes.
Let's talk
now, what about Angela Davis? You're not posting up here, sticking up pictures of Angela Davis. Angela Davis, are you freaking kidding me? Seriously? She left the movement back in the 70s, grabbed her a white man, walked out the Panthers, grabbed the white man. That's the last you ever seen her, and yet still got folks putting up pictures to this day of her.
Yep. Every black woman has got a white man. That Paula Patton, nobody says to her, your daddy black.
And the black females just adore her husband, by the way.
Yes, he gets to write a fucking article about how to keep a black man happy. Are you serious?
This is how you know the problem is that we've got a cult where everybody sits around in these circles, especially the females. Worst of all, they sit around in these circles and they co-sign each other to death. They don't let anybody else in. It reminds me of the Republican Party. You've got a bunch of little old white folks. As their populations are dwindling, they're losing election after election, state after state, but they won't let anybody else in. No foreign opinion is allowed in. If you don't already agree with them, you can't speak.
Yes.
And so they're just listening to each other until they go extinct. And these females are the same way. If you don't already agree, if you're not already co-signing, they're not going to listen to anything you have to say. And as they fail and go extinct, off they go. But until then, they're just going to add a boy, you go girl, cosign, thumbs up, like themselves straight to death.
And they foster this attitude, and simps have no idea. It's like that simp on YouTube. I told him, I said, dude, the only fans you have are people who hate me. I wouldn't even want that fan. I would not want a fan of me to be a hater of you. That's a stupid fan. So that fan don't even listen to what I'm saying. That fan doesn't care what I say. They're just glad you don't like him. They're glad, and I would never want that. That's why I don't want people to like me because they don't like somebody else. Don't come over here talking about, I don't like Corey Holcomb, so I like you because you said. No, that's stupid.
Yo,
like
Tommy.
Me because you like what I said. But have you noticed black women have always pitted other people, and that's where the single-parent household is killing us. Because they're raising generations of simps. When y'all women walk around and say they're no good black men, I say it on every show. Who should you blame?
Themselves. They should blame themselves.
That's right. You need to blame them black women that kept raising these black boys by themselves. Right. So don't get mad at your boyfriend for fucking up your life or doing something stupid or not taking care of his business. Go talk to his fucking mama who thought it was okay to be a single mama. But y'all won't do that.
Like, if they thought the dude was like a piece of crap, then why the hell you keep sleeping with him? And common sense. Like, if they thought the dude was a piece of crap and stuff like that, why they keep going out and having babies by them over and over and over again?
And how you have more than one baby daddy that wasn't shit? Seriously.
Exactly, man.
Because you're looking for men who ain't about nothing because they're easier to control.
Amen. Yo, black women, black women have an abandonment complex. Let's call it what it is. They have abandonment issues. And in their minds, they believe that it's better to have a man that you can control. And the biggest way, and that's why I did that series of how to control a black man. They do, the two main ways they try to control us is through finances and mentally. That's why they'll throw in your face that you gay if you say something about them. If you question their behavior, you all of a sudden gay. If you don't do this, we got words for a man that don't take care of his kids the way that the woman says he should. It's not the way that he should. It's the way the woman says he should. And if he doesn't do what the woman wants, he's a deadbeat. I've seen women call a man a deadbeat that pay all his child support because she'll say, but he don't come see the child. I'll see a man that go come see his child every day when he loses his job, but she'll still call him a deadbeat because he lost his damn job, even though she know the economy is saying 20-some-odd percent of black men don't have no damn job. But you won't give his ass a pass, but the government gives you a pass, and you don't call a woman a deadbeat when she's on welfare. That, to me, is the simple meaning of deadbeat, especially if she's on welfare and gets pregnant again.
Yo, Tom.
Well, we contradict ourselves all the time like that. This is how, for example, when men say they don't like lesbians, okay, I can definitely understand that, and then you pressure your girlfriend to have a threesome, and then you're shocked one day when you come home and she's licking on another woman. Well, you opened up that door expecting that things wouldn't get out of control. So you get a man who doesn't know how to be a man because he's easy to control, and as soon as things go bad, you want him to wave a magic wand to become, step out of his phone booth like Superman from Clark Kent and can't figure out why this went so badly.
Yo, Tommy, can I say something?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to comment on that video you put the other day about the female that stated that white men are just dying to have a black female.
Yeah.
Okay, and the ISIS papers. I looked up the ISIS papers real quick, but the video kept messing up, okay? So it's a black woman who's preaching, you know, and I'm pretty sure she's preaching, you know, some shit, but she looked kind of up there in age, and tell you the truth, never heard of her. I can't recall her name right. But let me tell you something. Black women have to understand this, okay? Black men were warriors. They need to understand, and I wish that they would read up on their history and find out how defined the black man used to be, okay? They took whippings and slavery. They ran away from their masters, okay? World War II, they had a fighter squadron, all black. Fighters. They whipped the Japanese in the ass, but they had white commanders, and the white commanders took all the credit. That shit wasn't known to like the last 20 years. Okay? Same thing in Korea. Black men stepped up to the plate and says, yeah, we're going to go fuck these Koreans up. There's a lot of history about black warriors doing their thing. Okay? And the white man just said, well, we can't give them credit for this. We'll just put this under the, you know, the boss or whatever. And why they did this is because they're scared of us. Deep down, if they knew we was to get together and regroup and get some power, we'd be a fucking force to be reckoned with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And for her to say that, oh, women, rather, black men prefer white women, or that's all they want to do, whatever, that's a total, rather the white man want the black woman. That's a total bullshit. Let's look at Puerto Rico. We can put in Panama, Portuguese, whatever, okay? At the end of the day, once Christopher Columbus no longer voyaged back to the islands or whatever, okay, and then he disappeared on one of his voyages, the queen didn't send any more people to the islands. Let's use Puerto Rico as an example. Puerto Rico today is 85% pure Spaniard, okay? And the blacks and the Indians that were left behind there, okay, they had a mix-up into their own race.
So even though the white man wasn't sending no more ships, supplies, the Spaniards who were left behind, they mixed with the other Spaniards on the island. They refused to mix their race. You had it. It happened. Okay. But the majority, they stood with their own kind. And that's why Puerto Rico is 85% pure Spanish.
Yep.
Okay.
And you know, he's on point. You're on point with your history.
He's Puerto Rican.
It's,
you
it's really a shame. It's a shame that the black women, the Hispanic women, should really dig into their history to find out how it
happened. That's what me and my cousin are doing. We're really trying to dig into our history and really try. And it's funny that you say that, because just the other night when we talked to my dad, going back to what you were saying about the mother's lying, his mother lied to him, and now he thinks that his grandfather was Puerto Rican. We don't know, because they all lie. They keep secrets. We don't know who anybody's father is.
Well, there ain't no such thing as a Puerto Rican, right, Tommy?
That's right.
Okay.
No such thing as no damn Puerto Rican ain't nothing but that's where you live at, nigga.
Exactly. Because the bottom line is this. Christopher Columbus, he came, he conquered, what we call Puerto Rico today, okay?
Right.
Which was the Aquawin Indians and the Taino Indians back then. And turned around, we're going to name this Puerto Rico. So then 395 years later, I'm a Puerto Rican? Get the fuck out of here. It's like that movie,
okay.
See, look, me and RC understand one thing. We're brothers. We're Hispanic.
Right, and that's what I've been explaining to my cousin.
We are Hispanic.
Thank you. Like when
you say, well, you were born in America. Like there was a guy who was here. Was like, my dad's Puerto Rican and my mama. What do you say? My dad's black and my mama's Puerto Rican. So I'm Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
I was like, what you saying is stupid. You were born in Chicago, nigga. You Chicago
right.
then at that point.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
we want
to gravitate to things where that we want to hold on to something else other than.
Right.
That's what's been going on it's like when people ask me, they'll see me and they're like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Brooklyn.
They asked me. They said, "Where are you from? You sound different." I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
From Indiana, I'm from Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I'm from Crown Heights, Brooklyn. You know, and then they
No.
Where are you from? Where are you from? I'm from Crown Heights, Brooklyn. I was conceived in Brooklyn, and I was born in Brooklyn. You know, now or then people, what's your nationality?
There
you go with words. There you go. And see, that's what we need to teach people.
Enemy.
Words mean
Enemy.
Different shit. Don't
that's
start
right.
saying your race is. Dude said I'm Puerto Rican, and that's when we was like, he has no idea. Puerto Rican's not a
that's
race,
when
sir.
We were talking, thank you. And that's when I was talking to my dad the other day. I was trying to get to the bottom of it because I was like, okay, but the dude's last name was Davis. I don't know no Spanish last name that's Davis. Somebody is lying.
I know, right?
And it's the mother, it's the matriarch that's lying, because you know who you slept with, you know who you had sex with, who did you have sex with, and who did you breed with?
You are assuming.
Well, that's what I've been, like I said.
I'm just saying the awful truth of it, let's just say it like it is, y'all.
He's
the
right.
The awful truth of it is that Maury Povich has become more the rule than the exception. And the simple answer is, in a lot of cases, they're lying, but the other cases, they're lying because they slept with so many people. They simply don't know, and they are ashamed. They don't want to go into this with you because they don't want to sit up here and tell you, baby, it was Friday, it was July 4th weekend, it was 10 dudes. I was popped. No, I had a lot of drinks. And I thought I was some. Or I had no drinks at all.
I was about to say, I just like
dudes.
Dick. Why you think I voted for Richard Nixon? I like dick.
And she doesn't want to sit there and tell you that this DNA paternity test reads like an encyclopedia. She didn't want to sit up here and tell you that. She doesn't want to take her own
with
path.
Evil eyes. What the fuck are you asking me that question for, you know? It's like, now cornered.
It's true. They look at you. And my father is so shook by his mother, he don't dare ask her, is that the truth?
But wait a minute, wait.
Yeah, but men don't let that go. But men don't let that go, by the way. We never let that go.
On.
She'll be 50 years old with them dudes winking at her saying, yeah, I got that back in 72.
But hold on. This is what I wanted to let y'all know, though. I wanted to let y'all know this. This is why, even though we have something called a DNA test, and it goes back to women again, we still have women that try to shame a man that asks for a DNA test. This same woman will want you to prove that it wasn't a hoe that called you at 3 o'clock in the morning by letting you look through her phone. But she'll get mad if you say, I want to prove that this little light-skinned kid is mine because, you know, I'm pretty dark and you just brown. And
right,
that's a light-ass baby. Why not give me a DNA test? What, you think I've been cheating? What you think? Oh, so I don't have the right to ask the question because now I'm going to get kicked out, have to sleep on the couch, or you're going to be perpetually mad at me for just wanting proof. But you want proof that I was at my homeboy's house over the weekend because I didn't answer the phone.
True story.
We need to stick by our guns. As men, we just need to, like you laid down the law on, girl. It's time for us as men to just say, you want a DNA test. What's the matter? You don't trust me? Trust but verify, heifer.
Thank you.
Verify.
I don't trust websites with my credit card number.
No. Nope.
Motherfucker hit me back talking about some, give me your password. I said, fuck you.
I sent him a message,
but you know when that little automatic thing come up when you chatting with the motherfuckers? Talking about some, give me your password. I said, fuck you. I don't know if that computed or not, but I logged the fuck off. How you going to ask me for my password to my shit?
Yo, Tommy, yesterday I was looking at a profile, and a chick put, born again Christian, but I'm not religious at all. So I told her, what the fuck does that mean? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're born a Christian, and so you're not religious. So that means you don't go to church, you're not going to do what? Oh, no, I didn't mean all that. You know, I'm a born. I said, you full of shit. Let me get offline here.
This is why the men have to reassert ourselves because things have just gone crazy. We got
to
reassert ourselves.
I want
to
leave y'all with this.
I
want to leave y'all with this. Men, it's a great feeling to stand up and be a man. And women like men that are actually men. It is a turn on when you can tell a bitch, you talking stupid, let me log off. You come on the next day and she'll be like, what happened? Where did you go? You sit up there and keep begging a bitch all night, she'll be logged off talking to you and talking to somebody else. This nigga's lame. He'll be here tomorrow. That's what it is, fellas. Stop being punks. Wake up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys. Everybody that joined the show, everybody say good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. You know, we'll be back on Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to another great show. Remember, we're here every Tuesday, and it's going to go back to Tuesday and Friday, I think. But tomorrow, I'm going to be hanging with my baby. Tomorrow, I got a recital to go to.